You're listening to Fakeologists Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologists.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologists.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Okay, you're listening to Fakeologist Radio. It's Napoleon Wilson. I'm hopefully going to do a nice, quiet audio here. I don't want anyone coming in and listening to me. Only for the fact that, like I keep saying to Jerris, a Swissy comes in, and Gaia leaves, and then the Swissy starts the show, and I'm not happy with most of the people, new people that are coming, because I think the first thing out of Jerris's mouth was JLB sounds reasonable, and then you said, who's JLB? So, yeah. So, anyway, half the people are there now. You know what I'm talking about, yeah? Because half of yous are quiet and half of yous aren't saying a dicky bird. And then the other half, well, as long as you've got a spokesperson, put them forward, I'll speak to them. But not in here today. We're going to be talking about September the 11th today. And I'm just going to be going through the, there's just the pins and the 911 media fakery, amongst a few other bits. So, the date, it is the 6th of the 5th, 2019. It is 7 minutes past 12 in the afternoon. I'm Napoleon Wilson. I'm on the 54th floor of Fakeologist Towers today. Yep, the lift didn't take me all the way up to the top. But what we'll do is, while I'm going to get the pins up, we'll find a minute song or something nice just for a little bit of intro. And then when I do need to pause or stop, I can resume it. So we'll find something really, really nice. By Razorlight. Yeah, so I hope you, everyone's having a lovely afternoon today. And like I say, it's just turned the afternoon for me. It's Bank Holiday Monday. Okay, so yeah, it was just a little introduction there, but Razorlight, I'll finish off with that later on. Usually throw a song in just to clear my head. So what we're going to do is now, first of all, we're going to go to fakeologist.com. We'll go to the first story that's up there, and the first story is named Count the Numbers Adding Up to 9 and 11. Now, we've got 5 replies. Excuse me. We've got 5 replies. I'm also checking Fakeologist Discord while we're here. Oh, Typo said, nice tune. Thank you, Typo. I hope you're having a lovely afternoon. Okay, so count the numbers adding up to 9 and 11. Right, so 5 replies. First reply. You see, I'm going to go over this, people. Reading out names, hopefully just elaborate on what's there. If there's no elaboration going on, I'll just read out what's there. I've got energy drink. I've just bought a can of beer, and I've split it into three, and I've got three shandies lined up for the next hour and a half, so should be nice. Like I say, it's I just decided to get a can of beer today because I quit drinking well over a year ago now, so coming up to 13 months, so good, good. Wasn't hard, but glad I did it. So if anyone gets a chance, not beer in the head for a couple of weeks. Okay, so the first one comes from Gabrielle, or Gabriel, I'm not sure. I did put a mic after it, but I'll read this out. So, obviously, the video, first of all, let's just talk about this. It's the brief assessment video of how the Twin Towers runs, the infrastructure in there. It talks about, actually, it's quite funny, it says that there's a building within a building that nobody sees, and it's very similar to how they used to talk about ships, big ships, and then, you know, the underground, the guts of the ship running it, and people don't see this above there. So it's put across in that kind of aspect. I'm sure anybody listening is familiar with the way documentaries and explanatory videos are done. Anyway, I will, I tell you what I'll do is I'm going to click on it. And if I click to YouTube, I can get the URL. I can play 2 minutes of it for you. So we'll do that.
The World Trade Center. Unmistakable.
Against the sky. Its twin towers of steel, glass, and concrete reach more than 1,360 feet in the air, dominating the skyline as Manhattan's tallest structures. The pair has come to symbolize both the contemporary spirit and vitality of New York.
I believe New York's icon at the moment is the World Trade Center. It's in every major picture around the world as symbolizing New York.
I think anyone who studies it on a certain level falls in love with the World Trade Center. No matter what you think about it aesthetically, no matter what you think about it politically or culturally, no matter how you think it looks on the skyline, the fact that human beings have the ingenuity to be able to do this kind of thing is, you know, kind of stunning and affirming in an odd kind of way.
Nothing else like this had ever been built before or since. And I think the beauty, the architectural beauty of the World Trade Center is subtle and it's easy to underestimate.
Each tower is 110 stories high, each floor an acre in size. Under each roof, 4 million square feet of space. But the towers are merely the focal point of what is an extraordinary complex of 7 buildings. In all, there are more than 12 million square feet of enclosed space.
Yeah.
Right, so I'm just pause that there. I'll carry on playing in a sec. So you had the logistics, some of the logistics there. Now, this is what I was saying to Nick, and this is what I was saying to a lot of other people who get really, really reticent when they're talking about the rubble and stuff that's left. You wouldn't have got planning permission for the buildings they allegedly built there. You wouldn't have got it. And when you understand that this is one of the tricks was done, obviously, there was two buildings there. We don't know the extent of who was in them. We can hazard a guess that probably 99% of the people that were meant to be in them weren't in them that day or the 33 years prior they were built. We've already expressed different questions to do with Judy Wood and the crazy physics, so I'm just going to use that to explain that's one of the reasons why she was brought in, because the buildings, I'm not going to say hollow, but it wasn't to the spec that we were meant to be built at. Anyway, right, yeah, so I'm going to resume that there because, like I say, this is massive, massive infrastructure built in a basin in New York where if you cracked it, you were going to flood the rest of the Manhattan Island. Okay, resume.
Meltdown, Gargoyle Half-Unit.
Work here. Another 2 million visit each year. And although the complex was built to be a center for international trade, the reality is that few businesses here have much to do with foreign trade. Some 325 companies, from stockbrokers to high-tech firms, share this prestigious address with the U.S. Customs House, a Marriott Hotel, and Manhattan's largest indoor shopping mall.
Subway lines intersect here at the World Trade Center, so people can come in underground, never get wet, never get snowed upon, go to their office, go downstairs, do their shopping, grab lunch, come back to their office and go home underground, and you never go outside. So it's a city within a city.
And supporting the city within a city.
Okay, so what he just said to you there, then, in a roundabout way, is the people that work there, you don't see them. Okay? Because the people that work there go to the office and go and do all the shopping, they never have to go outside. You don't see them. Okay, carry on.
It's pedestrian to see because it's what runs the building, including all the stuff downstairs, the massive systems, electrical, air conditioning, and other, that actually allow us to sit here pretending that we're in a natural environment. Nothing could be less natural than a super tall building. Nothing could be less natural for its time than a building like the World Trade Center.
So vast is this city. The World Trade Center has its own police force and what it calls the Operations Control Center, or OCC. The department's sole responsibility is to keep clean and functioning.
The World Trade Center could be compared to the war room on board a warship. It's manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they respond to crises.
The basement in a series of windowless offices.
Whatever goes on here at the World Trade Center is typically coordinated through that room. If the 10th floor from an air conditioner overflowing, that needs a security guard to open up doors. They're the ones that are sending the security people with the right keys to open up the door.
I'm going to pause it there for a sec because I don't like it to get too far ahead and I'm not sure how long the video is. So it's an infrastructure being run from the inside. The people have already been body established that the people, you're not going to see the people working there. The fire department, when they do need the key, send down to the security. So it's like, that's the best way of explaining this. It's similar. Universal, the floods won't be real, then, you know, all the people will be monitored as they're going through and they'll all undergo this certain experience, which will be the Twin Tower experience. Whether it's working there, whether it's people that have been put there for placement for a bit, because there will have been people working there, obviously, you know, you've got the windows of the world. They've already explained the fire department there and the police department. The one thing I did come across is the internal fire department in there had a fire marshal for each floor. That's 22 for the both buildings. That's 22 people. That's okay. So, like I say, this is just me thinking out loud. This is not. I'm not structured this like do this. How did they do that? Because, like I say, it's, I'm more concerned with why people have fell for the big trick of the well, the destruction. I don't believe that's real either.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Okay, so
we interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hey, folks, Alex Jones here. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
That was John Adams there. Been a while since we heard that voice. Okay, next. Now we've got counting the numbers. This is just a couple of comments there. So this is from Gabrielle or Gabriel. Wouldn't be complete without that pole vaulter at 10:09. Or the falling man from 1911. Yeah, I think that's the one where the fella, the pole vault falls up, the pole vaulter flies over and then does the falling man impression on the way down, or the hanged man. Which, Trips, if you're listening, change the bot's picture. You've got fucking Masonic hangman upside down on it. In fact, it's all Masonic in here at the moment. We've got too many fucking Masons on the right-hand side. We need to get rid of them. Yeah. And they're open about it, Masons. They'll say, yeah, I am a cunt. Get rid of me. Okay. So it wouldn't be complete without the pole vaulter at 10:19, looking like the jumpers are falling man from 9/11. I could just see in their eyes the smirking grin, the smirky grins, those being interviewed, knowing the future plans. Well, remember, you can see a lot in the eyes there. I don't think there would have been many people knowing about this. Probably George Lucas and maybe a couple of the upper echelon. Okay, down to the Hulk. Now, he's put a couple of comments there. I thought some of these smirking insiders look familiar. The clip is taken from a longer video, which is highlighted here at fakeologist.com. I've got more to add on Reese, Hulk says. Di Martini Max is missing in the video. I bet he is. But from this World Trade Center insider, mate. But from his World Trade Center insider, mate. It's got you there. So, retrospectively, adding things to comments to the videos afterwards, basically. Then we've got Vesper Douglas saying, Masons don't run the world, but the C words that run the world, or they ruin the world. Scottish Rite Freemasons. We see this old allusion to Freemasonry, which is going on at the moment. I think people are carrying a ball, even though, like I say, I only want to get rid of three or four people. Some of them are Masons, but that's not really the reason I want to get rid of them. Okie doke, Vesper Douglas again, Jews and Jocks, Angus Gillespie. I'm sure that means something in Scottish. But yeah, so we'll come back out of that now. We'll come carry on with the last couple of minutes of the video, I hope.
One of Gulliver's travels, and one feels like a Lilliputian among such huge machinery.
Four basements below the Twin Towers on 2.5 acres of concrete is the heart of the World Trade Center's air conditioning system. It's a system so massive, it can filter and circulate 9 million cubic feet of air per minute.
We're roughly 60 feet below grade. We have seven heat exchangers. They're some of the largest in the world. Each heat exchanger has a capacity of 7,000 tons.
The equipment is used to cool both towers, their sister buildings, the shopping concourse, and the subway station. The first subway station to be air-conditioned in the United States.
We bring in river water from the Hudson, and it runs through the heat exchangers and cools the water that we use for air conditioning.
Engineers of the World Trade Center had considered conventional rooftop cooling towers, but the units would have been so enormous, there was concern that they would mar the appearance of the building. The solution lay nearby. Because the complex sits by the Hudson River, cold water could be pumped directly from the river and used to cool the massive system. Today, large intake pipes provide the refrigeration plant with 90,000 gallons of water per minute.
River water is run through the system and then vented back out to the Hudson River. Of course, the Environmental Protection Agency keeps a close watch because they don't want temperatures under itself.
The World Trade Center make as many as 450,000 trips a day. The express elevators can travel at speeds of up to 27 feet per second, or 19 miles per hour.
The elevators are quite powerful. Each elevator has its own motor and its own motor generator set, generating about 480 horsepower.
In case of a power failure, the World Trade Center has six emergency generators. This backup system can yield 7,200 kilowatts, enough to satisfy the needs of 4,000 suburban homes. It's just enough to power an elevator bank in each tower, stairway lighting, fire sprinklers, and other emergency essentials.
Okay, so it was quite a big, big, big place. Lots of different things going on in there. Like I say, you wouldn't have got planning permission for the, well, for what they allegedly were, them towers. Judy Woods explained the seismic phenomena. Whether you want to believe that or not, it's. Oh, remember, this is all made up just to keep the plate spinning, like the JFK assassination, etc., etc. It's all just to. I used to think it was to confuse people, but now I see it's not. It's just to put people out, paid agents, shills, whatever you want to call them, to control the narrative. It's there to put them out there so that these stories don't arrive on their own. They come attached. Unless you're like me and you just make up your own facts. So. Yeah. Anyway, they were a busy couple of buildings. Oh, yeah, and I've got an address. What's his name? Am I unmuted? Yeah, I've got an address, Dante. Or is it Dave J? I don't know. He sounds like the obligate. Well, basically, you've got Dave J over in JLB's, and so he's got to have changed his name, pretended to be a flyer, for now he just wants to annoy me. So there you go, because You know, it's like fucking Thundercats over there. You've got someone who's a social justice warrior, then you've got someone who believes in flat earth, and then none of these people apparently agree with JLB, but they're all prepared to pay money and even to put the receipts online, which I think is fucking hilarious. You're never going to fool me. Like I say, I've traced all this bullshit back to the fucking day the music died, and we're coming up to 2 years, folks. I'd much from any of the Muppets on the right hand side of the screen. Apart from, like I say this, I've said this in the past, Frank's a genius. He's one of the best at listening, and he's proved more to do with the ground that we're on than any of the shills and idiots that are supposedly clambered on this fucking flat earth media machine. Which John rode fucking coattails of David Weiss in, and David Weiss and Hoi Polloi, they had a chat, and every other clever person in JLB's audios, it's just annoying and obfuscating as any of the people that I've left in the past. And if this is down to being honest with yourselves and not wanting to admit that seriously you're assuming it's a ball, fine, that's fine. You know, they say pride goes before a fall. But I used to listen to that for you lot, and I'm still old out. Good. That some people are going to turn around one day, because like I say, nothing's changed. Everything's still the same. Nukes aren't real, you know. The Jews run the world, apparently. It's the artistocrats, but everyone's, you know, apparently the Jews pay them. So, yeah, nothing's changed. All that's happened is the people who are meant to be clever and all that, or who had an opinion based on something, it's gone right out the window when they've had to pull a finger out and do their own research. And I think that's quite evident with most of the talking heads that we've heard in the past 2 years. We've heard Jay Dyer and JLB talking about stars in the sky. We've heard about people mocking. It stands to reason all the experiments and everything to do with all that was based on vision disappearing over a curve of 3 miles. Now that's been blown out of the water, the phrase on the level is actually making sense to a lot more people. So, yeah, it was the biggest trick going, and it does seem to have tricked most of the paid fucking idiots that have come in, because they can't pick a side, because most of them are trying to line the coffin for the future. They might be able to get on a THC or Jay Dyer again. And Jay blocking John Le Bon for asking about nukes, that just makes you even shillier, man. No, we didn't block John Le Bon. This is, you know what I mean? That proves you're all fucking dodgy. Anyway, we're going to have a song. And we're going to have a really, really nice song. So I'm going to find something. Then I'm going to find some more clips from fakeologist.com. So. Clever as a programmer as we thought. It's all stifled. So hopefully we'll hear something better in a minute. So we've got three bots in there now. We have a streamer bot. We have a fake bot. The fake bot is the one with the cartoon exposures of the building. The fake audio bot is the one with the hanged man, the Masonic one. Like I say, we've got a couple of Masons inside there, and we've got Mason familiars as well. And we also have the big cult leader himself, John Le Bon. Like I said, I was talking to Dante or Dave Jay, I'm not sure who it was earlier. They didn't really elaborate on what John's cult is about. They owned up to being in a cult, but they wouldn't tell me what it's about. So hopefully this sheds a little light on why Gay has left. Because we were asking him all weird kind of questions, seeing as he was such an expert on things last year and started setting up Fakepedia. Now he's fucked off and he's missed out, probably 50-60% of things in Fakepedia, but he has managed to leave Dave J's name in there. So yeah, but like I say, I was never into labelling things. I'm not a Nazi. And I did tell Faye that. Russ is telling me, no, like I say, Russ, I don't want to talk to anyone who's a carbon copy of what we had a year ago with Faye coming in and then disappearing and none of these people answering questions. Jerry's wants to come in and talk about 9/11 and his opinions on 9/11. That's fine. You can't just come in and say it's a double-edged sword and then move on to fucking green vests. You know what I mean? Okay. Now, eventually, I will waffle my way into truth. And that's how it works. So, yeah. So where was I on September the 11th? I was rolling around in bed with a lady. Apparently that's a big thing to do. People love talking about, you know, it's people who don't really have sex talk about sex as if it's like, you know, you need to go and do this. I do not need to go and do anything. I need to wipe most of my memories away when it's involved with women and sex, because it's like something from fucking Eyes Wide Shut. All the faces just blend in together. So, you know, please do not tell me what to do in a bedroom. Unless it's tidy, I could probably tidy a bedroom for you. Right, now I'm hoping the Mason bot is back online now, so we'll see. Okay, so now we're moving down a bit. We're on the next post, which is Columbine propaganda disguised as real. And this is at fakeologist.com. But 9 replies. I'll give you the quick synopsis. There might be a song coming in. The Mason bot is going slow. One of my listeners, this is Ab speaking, one of my listeners reckons this is a well-crafted story is real. I say it's carefully constructed propaganda telling parents to turn their prescription adult teenagers to authorities for Orwellian pre-crimes. It's not always easy. It's easy to describe how long a time fakeologists can detect scripted acting, especially in radio. I have a family and no families, and none talk to their children like this audio does, especially in front of the media. The 911 event proved that all media is used to send messages, and the more realistically they are, the better they are. The sounder they are. If you are not a fakeologist, you will not hear this. Well, yeah, possibly true. It usually stands out to reason. If you are aware of the media is used to give us preset ideas, then you will hear the scripting. When a couple learns that their teenage son has been identified as a potential school shooter, they do everything they can to prove that he is not. Bethany Barnes originally reported this story for the Oregonian. A family on the quest to stop the next school shooter, and that's producer Nancy Lopez. Now, the link's there, and it's an audio. It's 54 minutes long. I've not listened to it. Looked up Ricky's comment, and then I went down to TIMR's comment, and then we've got Xyloflex's comment, but we're going to get a bumper in a sec.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Deryllium, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Deryllium. I tell you what, if anyone wants to have a good listen, there's a cracking chat out there, if I remember correctly. It's Deryllium, Tom, and Ab. And it's one of the other ones, maybe the 70s. So yeah, right, let's just see what typo's typed in here, because he's... It's Jerris is the Swissie that seems to shoo Guy away, and original simulant, and he's the Mason. So yeah, right. So first comment. I tell you what, let's just do something. To Captain America there for getting home and sorting it all out, finishing it. Seeing as they fucked Superman up, they made Captain America good for 10 years. So, big shout out to the Russo brothers there. We're going to let Jay murder that, because he seems to be the one that needs to make a career out of talking to idiots. And we love people talking to us. So, we're on the Columbine propaganda disguise. Now, let's just scroll through a few of these. So, I'm going to drop down to, this is them, right, Ricky. Now, this was already after being commended by the Hulk. My answer is nothing. This is something I've been pondering. I will tell you, I've got to read his answer out. Okie dokie. Thanks for the thoughtful polls, Aleph. Alexa, I consider your contributions as essential to this site. I do as well myself, because the lad is prolific. And he's probably going to shout me off calling him the lad, but it doesn't matter, because I'm 41. I'm allowed to call someone the lad. Thanks for the thoughtful polls, Aleph. Alexa, I consider your contributions as essential to this site. I used to say I wanted to learn where the lies ended and truth began. Learning there is nowhere where the truth in media begins was a revelation. I give credit to Ab and the many contributors. When I say contributors, I love the way it's thrown in there. For helping construct a framework for us. Framework, good lad. That's exactly what it is. We literally, it's a tent, it's a house of cards, and it's held up with credulity. Okay, construct a framework for understanding a comprehensive comprehensive interactive fantasy world that makes up our so-called culture. As an aside, the burden of proof does not fall on the people that question sources that are proven liars. They never have to prove jack shit. And the thoroughly brainwashed society. Yep, that's pretty much seems to be the way it is. I mean, I've already said in the past, there's people coming in and defending quantum physics, which I think is hilarious. This is fakeologist.com, and you've got people coming in talking about weird stuff. Now, I know Sean does, but Sean's just showing you the ludicrousness. Okay, right, this is the reply from TIMR. Okay, I should clarify, I'm not saying it is definitely real, just saying I caught the show in passing on the radio, and the family sounded reasonably credible to me. It seems plausible that some unfortunate people could be caught up in the lower levels of bureaucracy of police work and school administration. Right, so and that's from TIMR, and this is, like I say, this is all based on the propaganda is real post that we've got 9 replies from in fakeologist.com. So if you can go there, if you're listening live, fine. Not if you would do it, this you can go through it and have a nose. Right, yeah, so he's saying he heard it passing on the radio. The family sounded credible to me. It seems plausible that some unfortunate people could be caught up in the lower levels of bureaucracy, of police work and school administration as part of the fallout of intensified public feeling around school shootings. Well, yeah, because everybody, you know, it's all hands on deck. Everybody wants to help out. How can we stop these atrocities from happening again? If that does mean we've got to implement some kind of, hands across America feeling, then they're going to do it. First sip of shandy. That's actually quite nice, that. I'll tell you what, I'm aiding it. The only red flag that jumped out on that casual listen, besides the whole topic itself and the potential sorts of lessons, excuse me, I need to turn them beeps down if you don't want to. Okay, so potential sorts of lessons. It might teach listeners, was recording moment that seemed to take place at a place in time. Oh, I don't understand this. I say it again. The only red flag that jumped out on that casual listen, besides the whole topic itself and the potential sorts of lessons it might teach listeners, was a recorded moment that seemed to take place at the time, take place in the timeline where there would have been no report and no tape recorder present. But I would have to re-listen to see if I missed some content. That would be strong evidence of fakery, though. Well, come on, you know it's fake. You know it's fake. You need to look at it from being fake first. Remember, the onus is on them. Look, if someone dies, people know. People, you know, when things are pushed, that's the narrative. And when they make a film out of it afterwards, I mean, you know, I'm not reinitiating the Zal rule just in case he does come back. Big shout out to Zal, by the way. You need to address that. I'll carry on reading it because, you know, it seems a bit funny. And this is from TIMR, by the way. Assuming a world of psyops and fake school shootings, would there not be natural paranoia from normies about kids who are outsiders who wear long black jackets? Remember, they believe the propaganda is real to them. Would they not potentially persecute some of the nonconformist teenagers out there, and then they could be picked up by the media for propaganda purposes, but using an actual true story? I was talking about this the other day. If they can control people to the level of, you know, these people are actors, so you can control them from 6, 7, 8 onwards. I mean, it's, what's it, the 7 year gimme child from 1 to 7 and then the control. So if you've got people who are in said, you know, three letter organisations, the children is going to be travelling around, they're going to go to different schools, just like I was talking about Neil Armstrong. He went to so many different schools, he was a flyboy, he did all these different things, never had friends in any one place, and then these people can be picked and used for whatever the narrative is. We've seen it, like I say, Neil Armstrong, he wasn't a Mason, but his father was. The fact that he had the world on his shoulders like Atlas, and his name is pretty much akin to the meme of Atlas. Kneeling with your arm strong. And also we have One Stone, or Einstein, who brought all the philosopher's stones together in order to make us reach the heavens. So he was literally a philosopher's stone 2.0. The first one was Jesus Christ, or seems to be, the way the Masons worship him anyway. So, yeah, and that brings me on to the Jesus tent. But anyway, carry on moving there. So, and this is TIMR's comment still. So, they would not potentially persecute some of the non-conformist teenagers out there, and then they could be picked up by media for propaganda purposes, but using an actual true story. Well, it's not a true story, is it? It's just a story attached to a story. Fake within a fake. Just like you could have these fellas discovering computers in sheds, the fellas are controlled, and so is the idea. It never came from a shed, and the two fellas are no good on computers. That's why they're always in sweatpants jogging around and pointing at things instead of, you know, really hands-on, unless you're some of the early pioneers in them computer things. Okay, maybe on a realist, and I would change which way I lean on this, but have you sound a little cult-like saying, if you are not a fakeologist, you will not hear the deception. Well, no, you see, I believe that you've actually proven that you're not hearing the deception by being the way you are there, by putting in this big long statement, because, like I say to a lot of people, like I've said to a lot of people, it took me 19 years to work out John F. Kennedy hoax. It's like 19 years of going through all the information, and the one thing that ticked me off was the saying that everybody throws out about him. He was a good man, but a womanizer. Now, if I would have come across an alchemical hustle, I would have realized the power behind the JFK family and where the propaganda machine that was the JFK family, and also the film propaganda, which was Joe Kennedy Sr. And that would have easily saved me 19 years of, you know, perusing and thinking I was interested in something. But once discovering fakeologists, you realize it's all a show, it's all theatre. So, like you say there, cult-like saying, if you're not a fakeologist, you will not hear the deception. That is a worldview and model that can be useful. It can be, but you have to put that first and foremost, or see if you actually ticks the boxes of media faker, and this ticks all the boxes. But it is not a replacement for remaining open to the evidence in any case. So that was TIMR there. And I'm sure I butchered it, but it doesn't matter, does it? Because the only people that you get to hear at the moment are the fucking conclaves. Okay, so this is Hulk again. All we know is that there is a school district in Oregon called Park Rose. There's no evidence for any boy named Sanders. I hear a lot of BBC radio stories with voiced victims from phony wars in Libya, Syria, etc., whose names are changed, speaking in Arabic, inflected English for generic names, which might as well be Sanders. It's also unverifiable and well-acted and subtle steering of the masses. This normie was belatedly taken in by the Oregon store a few days ago, and then he's put a Twitter link there. So that's the Hulk. We've got a reply from the Hulk, so I'll read this out, and then I'll move on to something else, or something starry, science fiction-y, you know. I'll take a request, I don't mind. Like I was saying to Dante, if you are aware, then you must be aware of there's questions going on, and you must also be aware that the history that John Le Bon has with obfuscating and not answering questions, just like Gaia does. So I'm always suspicious when a new voice comes in, starts talking a lot, and Gaia fucks off, because this is what's happened over and over again. We've seen it with Dave J, we've seen it with John Adams. People come in, and if they don't fit, they're out on their ears. Now, it's not a case of having to come in and say the spiel. You can come in and say, I don't believe anyone died on 911. You can go through the entire gamut. And it's not a case of being accepted. It's a case of, are you prepared to talk about your beliefs. A lot of people don't. A lot of people don't talk about when they were tricked, this, that, and the other. What we do get in the side of the comments is not much media fakery, I'll be honest with you. I mentioned a crashed plane, and I let the Hulk checked today and then put a post in about it. So, you know, I mentioned it 12 hours earlier. The post was read. And then it was on his eye left, who picked up on it, and no one else did. So it's not a case of even the people on the side not paying attention to media fakery. It's totally, totally belligerent and not trying. So if you was to come in here and be a media fakery person and, you know, push it a bit and help to do a few bits, it would be a nice inspiration for a few of the people that have crept over from there. Like I say, the conclaves. Okay, so... this is TIMR again. We are in agreement. This is not a proven story. I just incline to think that the system works by some kind of dynamic interplay between truth and fiction rather than all or nothing. I don't think that everyone is in on it. I think the higher levels make us propagandized pawns that fill the ranks of the government, corporations, media, etc. That is the system's success. If it can propagate these ideas to such an extent that they can take on a life of their own and generate real events that are founded on the delusions of participants, it snowballs. That is culture creation. The point is not just to fake everything, it is to seed the ideas and then let the useful idiots carry it forward. Nearly. They're not going to, look, if they seed an idea, they're not going to let you carry it forward. This is the old reason of putting things out there. You put an idea out there for someone to run with it. It gives them a story. It gives them a cover. You can't just... We'll put it one way. I mean, you know, how many puns do you need to come up with to know that no one died in the making of Star Wars? I mean, no one died in September the 11th. Do I have to find a George Lucas flaw? Do I have to find, do you know what I mean? There's a million and one coincidences, and it's all about making people just literally that day. You were all fucking, what's the word? You were all knighted that day. The moment you believe that brown people could bring down planes, that was it. You strike me down and I become, yeah, whatever. Your faith in your friends is yours. Look, it's all stories, and especially most of the Americans. Okay, then we got a little comment from Vespa. Similar sites. Where can one find these similar sites? Ooh. Now, Vespa only pops in now and again. He has little comments here and there. He has a pop at me, but I don't mind because I just like to be noticed. Okay, right, so that was that was TMI there. I'll finish the last bit of that. Real events are founded on the illusion of the participants, snowballs. That is culture creation. The point is not just to fake everything, it's to see the ideas and then let the useful idiots carry on. Like I say, I don't believe this, the useful idiots, because that's letting a lot of the fuckers off the hook. And they're not useful idiots, they're laughers. You know, some people will not overstep the mark. You'll get some people going all around the houses instead of saying models. They'll say, look at the buildings, they don't even look real. And then start talking about Mandela effect. So, you know, there's not that many idiots on the internet, but the idiots seem to congregate around fakeologist.com. So we do see the rhetoric that's being spun at the moment, trying to flesh things out. And the fact that there is not much going on at the moment, plane flights, crashes, I think, like I say, Trump's not said butthead yet. You know, it's quiet, so this is why you've got this terra firma, whatever you can explain it as. But the Mandela effect is funny. Where it's like watching the truthers have a come down or something. You know, oh yeah, it's Mandela. You know, no, it's the artistic acts. It's the people on YouTube. It's the people who thumb up your comments. It's the people who talk to you in chat. I mean, I talk to people in chat and I say I'd ban you. And they totally agree with me. They go, I know. You say, this is how transparent it is. It's fucking, there's nothing new. Shills know the shills. Okay. Xylophilex again. Afternoon theatre for radio listeners. Pure fiction, well acted. This one's from Ab. Yes, theatre is the right word. What can you tell TMR to make him see the fakery? Well, you see, this is it. It's, once your eyes are open, you don't actually have to see anything. You don't need to see pretend planes hit pretend buildings. You don't need to see pretend people run out of buildings. You don't need to see people on the street saying, oh, it's been carnage, there's people in that building. You know, you don't need to see that. It's a city that was run like clockwork. It made billions, trillions daily basis. It was a fulcrum of everything. And there's no way on earth that wasn't the safest place in the world on that day. It had to be. But like I say, as soon as they let slip it was brown people, you know there was a lynching, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Twisted fucks, anyway. And that's what you get for living in the woods, hicks. Right, we'll resume the song.
To bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Frida from Florida, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Benny Goodman, can you say? So yeah, so we're back on fakeologist.com. This is Napoleon Wilson, and it is 2 minutes past one in the afternoon for me. It's 6th of the 5th, 2019. Most of the wizards running in the place predict shit, and you fall for it. And then you put in Wikipedia, and the world's greatest skeptic won't look at it. Okay, so we're going to scroll down a bit. She's got a really itchy nose. That, now, that must mean I'm going to win some money. But I won some money yesterday, so maybe it's a retrospective itch. I don't know. Okay, so we've got the Nordea brothers, Keith Components, to the lie, two replies. And I'm not going to go into the replies there because these are, well, they're actors. They're all actors. Remember, there's nothing left to chance on that day. There's no way on earth you're going to get two people. Look, you... The footage wasn't real. None of the footage was real. You're not going to get two people filming planes when, remember, there was no planes on that day. So all of a sudden, what were they aiming the video camera at? So, you know, it's all controlled. The entire media is controlled. Now, you can look beyond it and see what they're pushing towards. Now, we've already had the Millennium Falcon. So that's the Twin Towers falling with the twins. And one of them had a lightsaber. They both disappeared in the Millennium Falcon, just like Luke and Leia. Then that meant once the Twin Towers had fell, the Empire State Building struck back, right? And then we've had the return of the Jihad, which is your, what do you want to call it, your ISIS, your terrorists, ISIS sister. Yeah, so, you know, we've had all this thrown out in front of you. I've even put in the star, or where the sun and the moon was in conjunction with the Earth and the Observer on that day, and it's, I mean, it, it puts out a Millennium Falcon spaceship. None of this is real. This, like I say, this is the big trick. This is what I've said this so many times. In Superman 2, now here we go. I love referring to Donner films because he was well in the known, especially when you understand how September 11th was concocted and put in films in 10-second snippets and 5-second snippets in good films across the board so that you had a full picture of that day before you even seen it. Look, this is fakeologist.com. You know what I mean? We've gone over all this. This is why I laugh at people coming in talking about like current issues. No, it's not a current issue. We're trying to wake people up to the lie of September the 11th. You can wake them up whichever way you want. You know, wake them up with the Jews saying, oh, we took out an insurance policy. Well, he took out an insurance policy on empty buildings, didn't he? And then he took out, and he must have insured them models that collapsed. You know, it literally is. It's a cartoon. It's all fun. Anyway, we had the return of the Jihad. Always a giggle. I must admit, though, Star Wars, you know, it explains a lot of why it was forced down our throat. Because for years, I never paid attention to it. Particularly Carrie Fisher. I wasn't really a Carrie Fisher fan. Even to the point of, you know, the famous actors in it. Most of the people who were in Star Wars were English actors. I knew them from children's programs and Jack and Orion stories and Yes Minister. And so at an age when people were looking at the wonder of Star Wars, I was seeing, who's acted alongside Derek Jacobi or who's worked with Judi Dench. So there we go. Right, yeah, so the Norday brothers, not real. Not really at all. Simon's gone over this. They're not there, brothers. They can't be real. It's all deception. So the entire video from start to finish on that day. Now we've got Phoenician, Ab, and Gael. Now, Phoenician sounds a bit funny. I don't know whether it's just sarcasm that changes your accent or racism changes its Australian, but I don't know. It seems a bit funny. But having said this, most people do nowadays, seeing as I'm sort of fighting on two different fronts. But like I say, all I wanted was transparency. It seems we got that. Right, we're going to go down to Jerris Napoli. Oh, no, can't read out them because that's me talking about shills. Oh, another phony Amber Alert. Right, the follow-up story to yesterday's phony Amber Alert adds more fuel to the fire that this is a totally fabricated HDPAR. Less than 2 hours after Amber Alert was issued for a 5-year-old boy last seen in spotted in a KFC in Tilbury, a location almost 300 kilometres away. An Amber Alert was issued at 5:09 p.m. for the boy located safe somewhere else. Right, okay. We've just had a couple of them over here, and I've had one on my phone. Child locked in a car with a burning child in a car died recently. Now, remember, people are idiots. People do things, but it will always be spun into the narrative. So, almost like they'll have stories ready to go, and then if there is a news story, they can hold that back for 8 hours, release another one, and then adds weight to the next one. All right, staging hate crimes. Nope. Okay, Napoleon Ab, Jerris Gael. Let's have a look at the replies on this. Like I say, you're listening to Fakeologist Radio. I never listened back to this. Not to me, anyway. Now, apparently some people do so they can get better. I have no idea what that statement means. And yes, I can still hear Benny Goodman, too. Okay, so this is from Tom Dalper. And this is, like I said, it's just a few comments on the audio from the other day with me, Ab, Gerris and Gael. Just to be clear, catastrophic anthropogenic climate change isn't obviously a made-up scare story to encourage people to adapt their behaviour and accept the changes, isn't it? The fall of man for the 21st century, CO2 being the very gas we breathe out, if we swallow the horse shit, we are inherently guilty. Yep, some spot on there again. Analysing the issue is clearly different from analysing the events like 9/11, the moon landings, but the jury certainly isn't still out on it. Where I am, it's fine if you're suggesting, Zyla Phillips probably missed your point. Right, so Yeah, so he's answering something that you don't need to go over that. Yeah, but like Tom's saying, we've had this force down our throat. They've changed the name that many times that people have no idea what they're tracking now. You know, so I was trying to find a rapist who's at 5 sex changes. Someone handed me a leaflet for an Extinction Rebellion event last week, and I was struck with how it was perfect contemporary example of the Big Lion operation. We see Tom's very cerebral. He, another one like Frank and the Hulk, noticed the subtle word changes. I like to say I'm new to the media being faked on all areas. I was familiar with why they were faking the shape of the planet and the Russian cosmism dream. That was explained to me, and same with the signs, a lot of the signs hustles, but I couldn't see the climate change. I couldn't see how they could get all these people to, you know, adhere to certain things. But then once you understand how funding's done and these different things, obviously, becomes more apparent. Okay, comment from Vespa Douglas there on the same topic at 2:20, just prior to his computer. He's talking about me. I don't think I did say Gem Panda. I think Gem, I'd have to go back, but I don't do that. So, no, but I know all them shills you're talking about. I don't know them by name. I have called them all cunts on YouTube, so that's the best for there. Right, we're on to the next one. XylophilX, 25th of April. Climate change starts at 1:28:35. Sad to say, this segment, along with every other forum post or discussion amongst fakeologists and other skeptics, doesn't pass the bus stop gossip test. Unsubstantiated, wishful group thinking one could spend a lifetime examining and reading the already published reports and papers on atmospheric CO2 levels, global mean temperatures, etc., etc. And I'm sure nobody here has done that, let alone take part in any scientific measurements themselves. We're a million miles away from the easy-to-debunk moon landing JFK 911, yeah, pretty much. Our other favourite hoaxes, which give rise to so much churning here and elsewhere, mainly going nowhere, but honestly, do any of these climate auto hoaxes had to get that one in? Sorry, I've murdered that there. Do any of these climate hoaxes, had to get in? Or skeptical group thinkers, are there anything to offer by way of analysis or research? We have no potato lens photos to analyse, no laughable duping witnesses to amuse us. Scientists, even I have no horse in the race, but level of discussion here leaves me as cold and as bored as the endless chitter chatter about vaccinations and dietary clues for him. Yeah, you see, he's right. Because chatting classes, you can leave them to it. This is all periphery. You know, the virus is getting squeezed tighter. Whether it's breathing out, breathing in, taking a shit, piss, whatever it is, they're already trying to control the birthing process. It's everything. People need to wake up and understand what's going on. And thinking you're reading something and you're forming an opinion on something, you're forming an opinion on it. Why? It's the same as talking about rules in Dungeons and Dragons. It's the same as talking about meditation and all these different things. Fine, you don't have to express how you spend your time on your own. It's as bad as telling us what you stick your dick in. Okay, right, let's see what else we've got.
It's really hard to pigeonhole people politically, and I think it's ridiculous when we...
Oh, I'm not trying to pigeonhole you. What I'm trying to ask you is, if you believe in independence and you believe in not having that control, then what would be more freedom and less more independent than somebody that's actually expressing their sexuality, whether that is transgendered or not?
Well, nothing. And I'm not against one expressing their sexuality, to be honest with you. I'm more interested in the exception angle of transgender. I've tried to make that very clear early on.
I bet you don't condone it, though.
Condone what? Condone what? Experimenting on children?
I'm using your words. You said you don't condone it.
I don't promote or condone child abuse. And I think anyone that experiments or administers hormones to a zygote all the way to someone 18, that's child abuse, because it's against... Go ahead. I consider 18. 16, maybe not sexualhood, but if you want to just pick a number between 16 and 18, I think that's a fair number for most people. I think if you anything you do to a child before that is a form of abuse if you are experimenting with hormones on their body. I just think it's wrong. Even vaccination, I'll go as far as saying, is necessarily maybe a form of abuse as well.
Right. Yeah, and honestly, Ab, I don't have a strong opinion about that. So
that's all right. You don't have to.
You know, I have a strong opinion in the sense that I accept people for who they are, and I think that that.
I do too. I do too. Yeah. And I'm not really here to interfere. I think the best way to get rid of, I've said facetiously, the best way to get rid of homosexual marriages is to allow it. Because once they get married and see what it's all about, they're gonna stay single as much as possible. So I think that's another real red herring for most.
You know what's so funny, Ab? You know, I had a gay married couple of mine of over 20 years, obviously they got married a few years ago when California legalized it, and they invited me. They said, "Hey, do you guys want to go down to the beach for the 4th of July, and then we'll have a cookout at our place?" I'm like, "Sure." And so we headed down there, and we headed to the beach. I'm like, oh, there's, like, a lot of gay people here. And the next thing I know, everyone's in Speedos and shit. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I was expecting to see you there, Ab.
Well, I've already been to the West Coast, not of California. I'm not quite sure where you're going with that. I think you're making a funny...
Well, I guess the point, I'm saying, man, is, like, I don't know anyone that obsesses more about sexuality than people who generally are gay, you know? Like, generally that's, like, a...
I know. You keep that saying that, but I I never said that.
Your wall, man. You posted it on your page. You totally did that.
Oh, did I? Where?
Yeah, you did. A few other people caught on your thing.
Where is it? Where is it? Where is it?
Through Discord.
Where is it?
I think, in a way, you did ask for it a bit by putting is. When Tal came on, you said Tal says he is, in quotes, a homosexual.
Okay.
So, you know, you requested, you know, you put in quotes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, sure. You know, a few people, other than people that are in this conversation right now, I mean, other people on this Discord thing have contacted me privately and said that they didn't agree with that. So
okay, I can remove it. I'm just saying, man.
You know, so I was like, oh, and it made me feel good because I was like, well, I'm glad when someone's treating me like that. At least there are people in your community that would speak up and say, hey, that's pretty messed.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dreams, I have a
plan. If I got... Ah, there we go. Oh. We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is 12X42 Nikon. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
God, he was a laughing Nikon. God, I remember I talked to him on YouTube and he started insulting me. What was it? I think I mentioned something. And he went mental and started insulting me. So big shout out to Nikon there. I remember you got interested in, I think you were talking about cameras or something. I don't know, maybe that was his name. Anyway. On there. Yeah, so what we got there was, that was Tal, a little bit of Ab, and a little bit of Tom there, so we're going to resume that. Carry on.
To another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Tal, Tim. As you know my opinion on these things, I think your sexuality is something that it can be either, you know, can be either way. It's not so very common in one way than the other, and that's the more way that's led to more reproduction. But I don't know. I mean, is that just conditioning?
I think it's down to leisure time, yourself. I treat homosexuals just like fishermen or people who go caravan at the weekend. Something I don't do. There you go.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, I don't want to keep on coming on here, and I don't really want to be talking about sexuality and stuff like that. I mean, that's great you guys want to have that conversation, and maybe I shouldn't be part of it.
No, Tal, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying it's not a tough thing. I wouldn't talk about caravanning. I wouldn't talk about fishing because I don't know anything about it. And just treat you like that. Something that I don't know about.
And, you know, Ab, last time I was here, I did speak with Tom and Napoleon, and, you know, I was doing some research because I just I had saw this article about one of the past presidents and how 33 weeks and 3 days after he was in office, he experienced a depression, right, an economic depression. So I was like, oh, you know, well, you know, what's how many days is 3 weeks, 33 weeks and 3 days? It's 234 days, 234. So I looked at what Trump's day he was inaugurated, which is the 20th of January, and 33 weeks and 3 days after January 20th is September 11th. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, Ty, you're all over the places. You're driving with you sometimes, but my old, I don't consider E.G. If I wrote something that offended you, I can easily take it down if it disturbs you. But really,
and
my investigation
it's been up for long
nothing.
Enough. It's whatever, you know.
So there you go. That was just a little snippet there from that was from Questioning Our Reality. And I've started following his videos because he says a Mason control, so I'm hoping he can let me get my hands on that crazy book. Okay, so what we're going to do next? What we're going to do next? Now, all I do is at the moment, I've just typed in Fakeologist Radio on the YouTube. Now, we've got a few different things here. We've got a celebrity fakeologist. I took a great song from a fellow Canadian. Oh, God, this is that's old, that. That's 6 years old, that. See, I've been at this a while. And he is set in his ways. He's not offensive. Like most of us old boys, we're going to get more and more offensive the further we get along the line. And the young ones are going to have to show us the errors of our ways, but I'm sure most of them will. So there you go. Right, let's find another little snippet there. And Trip's kicking off about the robot. But it's not my fault, my mate. I'll try and change the robot now.
Hi, everybody.
It's me, Aberrado. Want to highlight a post on my website, fakeology.com, which is right now redirecting to aberrado.info, the original site that I started a year ago after I started researching 9/11 and discovering that it was the biggest media hoax of our time. And ever since then, I have been struggling to find a word to describe what I do. The most common word that is given to people that question what they are told is conspiracy theorist, or the sub-phrases that go along with that, like tinfoil hat wearer or complete nut bar. So they've taken away conspiracy theorist and made it a pejorative. So that's not a word that we can use to describe ourselves. So I decided I would invent a word. I say invent because I couldn't find it in the dictionary, and I'm sure many people have put the two words together, fakery and ology, ology meaning the study of, and fake or fakery is the study of fakery. So to define the word fake, I went to dictionary.com and found these three definitions. Number one, to prepare or make something specious, deceptive, or fraudulent, to fake a report showing non-existent profits or events. Number two, to conceal the defects or make appear more attractive, interesting, valuable, etc., usually in order to deceive. The story was faked a bit to make it more sensational. Or number three, to pretend, simulate, or fake illness. So I think this perfectly applies the world that we are presented with through the media. So whenever someone asks why you question some of the major media events, just say you are investigating fakery. Now, you don't have to go into who's behind it, who's conspiring. Now, all a conspiracy is when two people get together for an ill-gotten gain. So, I'm fine with the word conspiracy, but in order to describe yourself or spread your message, it's not a phrase that you want to be associated with. So, use the word fakeologist, someone who studies fakery or fakeology. And you'll find that the first thing you'll get is what is a fakeologist? And then you can easily describe yourself in a positive light, that you question what you're told, because in your opinion, one of the biggest media hoaxes of our generation, 9/11, was a fake event. And if people understand 9/11 and how they were, how population is quite content with either the official story or the opposing stories, the conspiracy theories, when able to see the big picture in that it was a completely fake event. So go ahead, start using the word fakeologist and tell me how it works out for you. We do a show every Saturday night at about 9:11 p.m. We talk about fake events, including 9/11, and all the smaller psyops that come to us week after week. And we talk to real people. We're not controlled opposition. We don't have all the answers, but we have many of the questions. So join us, real people, every Saturday night at 9/11, and discuss the fakery.
Well, it is Monday, May 6th, 2019. I was just talking to Garris for a second, and then my phone went sideways on me. So I think I got that figured out. Now, in the meantime, when I was trying to do that, Garris was enraged. He was enraged at me. So he rage quit the call, I think. And I'm waiting for him to come back. The last part isn't really true. He didn't really rage quit. We were just talking about the nature of being incorrect sometimes or frequently, you know, in my case. But that was going, you know, it's going well. And then, yeah, like I said, the phone got sideways on me and I had to reset it and stuff. So I think I'm back on now. So hopefully he'll join back. If not, let me try to invite him back here. I'm just getting my oil changed at the local gas jockey. And it was like a $98 ass whipping right there. Pretty expensive.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Mizong from Switzerland, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Well, that was a ghost of Fae, which Fae kind of means like a fairy anyway. The Fae, Morgan Le Fay, right? But I guess that was her specter. Come back to. To a bumper, or stinger, as it were. Okay, that one is an industry term for you people uninitiated into the ways of radio. Apparently a stinger and a bumper are synonyms. So I was getting my oil changed, and that was like a $98 half with it. And you don't want a judgment from the oil change guy. Nope. Want me to replace these expensive filters? Said someone's been smoking in the car. I don't know who's been doing that. Some low life probably. Just use my car and I can smoke it. Clogging up my priceless filters. Those things aren't cheap. They're like $50 for one of them. But I managed to wrestle my old one back from him. So feel good about that. And then I got, of course, the synthetic oil, because oil is such a precious resource. Each well tap could really be the last one. I mean, We're just so close now. Peak oil is we've already passed it. This petroleum, this crude, you can't just keep using it like this. But that's why I just use the oil they make in a laboratory, I guess. Well, regardless, it's priceless, and we're about to run out of it any minute now. Any minute, they might have already tapped the last well. There's really no way of knowing. It's apparently the second most abundant liquid on Earth behind water. It's crude oil. Petroleum, really. I don't know if that's true or not. No one else would be. Magma, maybe. If magma is a liquid. Magma. But there was a guy that I've seen in a horror show inside the Chimney Lou. This woman is in there with her three children. God bless them. You know, they've got to be younger than three kids. Under three, under four, probably under three. And, man, she slapped one right in the face. You know, there's something else. He said Nietzsche, when he was walking home and he saw the man just beating the shit out of the horse. He beat the horse to death. Beat the old horse to death right in front of him, walking home. This is what really sent him over the edge. This is what split him for good. After that, I think his sister had to wipe the soup out of his mustache and stuff. She would dress it up all weird, trot him out in front of her fake friends, so he'd be all erudite and, you know, intellectual. But he was a husk after that. And then, yeah. But you can sympathize with that. Maybe. I can't. You see the real horrors of the world. So there's I'm trying to think if I'm still connected here. There was the plane event, right? The most recent plane crash in Russia. I was reading up on that a little bit. It turns out that so there used to be something. Well, we'll just go with the mainstream story. The commies used to have their agitprop train, right? And the train would roll through, come about revolution time. Or, you know, maybe post revolution, but when they're trying to get into the changeover and Leninism. And they'd have the train going down through the countryside. The train was like a theater train. Kind of like the old Passion Play wagon gimmicks we heard about. Well, I heard. So these propaganda trains roll through and, you know, stop from town to town and entertain the neurotics, the peasants, the poor Russian folk who were too stupid to understand how glorious the revolution was going to be for them. And so they had to be educated in it. You know, my mom didn't understand that. You know, now not only was she going to work to contribute to the serf farm and raise the children and do the housing stuff too, but she would also be putting in about 50 hours a week at the factory now too. So shouldn't be lucky. So they don't come naturally. It's such high-minded concepts aren't readily grasped by these, you know, salt of the earth people. So the train would roll through and it would, you know, educate, infocate, entertain Kate, the people, you know, basically explain to them their model for them, what their new life would be, what they expect in a glorious, you know, socialist republic. And that was, I guess, the carryover of a older tradition. Of the surf theater, which saw, you know, in the century or two before, saw the really tippy top aristocrats, bonding their serfs to indentured actitude. They had to put on plays and shit for their benevolent overlords. So they would build these elaborate theaters and stuff, I guess.
or convert areas of the manor house into theaters. And then, you know, the people, these are big productions, according to what I read, that, you know, you have sometimes like 200 or so people. They're kind of like an opera or the, what do they call it, the opera comedique or something, some kind of fairy, some kind of chimera of the French tradition of it, I guess, which probably has its origins in the church. But the point was that where this airport was, where this plane thing happened, this jet thing happened, I guess, yesterday on the 5th, was the place is really well known for being a surf, being like a really high-end surf theater back 150, 200 years ago. So imagine that. It was kind of interesting, too, that, you know, I just saw a little bit about it. But, like, the plane is, you know, it's terrible for a plane to crash. It's freaking awful. But so then it, like, hit the runway, and then it kind of bounced off, hit it again. I saw a video of the thing's on fire. It's like the Phoenix, you know? But the news about it was pretty ridiculous. I wonder if Russia really is the way they paint CNN. Where you have to go to the bathroom in your front yard, and, you know, if your family dies in the airline disaster, they send you a check. I think the guy said he's going to give them like $7,000 each or something. Offer to fly the families in. Pass on them. Putin. He's going to get to the bottom of it, he said, but we all know that tricky Putin's probably up to his eyeballs in this thing. There was, I think that's all I have about the plane, the jet thing. It was on like May 5th, right? So, I'm not sure if it was on May 5th or not. It was on the 4th. Thinking about what else I've been looking at lately, I'm probably talking about it on Hoaxbusters call tomorrow. Help, but there was found some solid info about the nexus of the, entertainment education, you know, Hydra, Leviathan. I can't remember the guy's name now, but there's the Brazilian guy, if you're familiar with him, who came up with this thing about, social change through entertainment. But he really kind of formalized it because I think it was in the 70s or the 60s. That was supposedly quantity, you know, methods of measuring the exact pro-social change that, you know, having some of this nonsense would facilitate. But, yeah, there's all kinds of organizations you can join out there if you're into that. You can make all kinds of aggressive media, designed to mind control people into maybe just the way you want, which is really not, nothing new, right? Everyone knows about that. But just kind of like the glee at which these people have, really, it's really striking, you know? It's really among the most troubling parts of it. There's parts of it where you think, man, you know, is it so wrong, you know, necessarily in some of these ways, but it's not one. Because you do want to model, you know, you want to be the change you want to see or whatever that shit is. But you do want to model, like, the appropriate way, to the best of your understanding, to behave inside and to treat other people, right? I mean, you want to, even if you don't, like, believe it yourself, you know, I mean, as a parent, hopefully, any of you parents out there, I'm sure, practice the, you still, like, act like you believe it, you know? Like, to say, like, in a kind of non-related issue, you wouldn't, like, go project your fears onto your child. You wouldn't just dump onto them how, like, you're terrified of heights or something like that. At least you shouldn't, like, from the time there, you know, still. Otherwise, you can, you know, it would be is that your child also be right? In the same way, while you might not have to go up on the top of the Eiffel Tower, you know, you can at least, like, act like it doesn't bother you, you know, when some kind of stimulus is presented that reminds you of it or calls that to mind. And in the same way, you know, you would, you know, it's hard to know who are good people and who are bad people or whatever, right? But you don't, dumping all this suspicious, you don't go injecting a suspicious nature into a little child. Yeah. And the same way with the modeling of norms, mores. So, but then, you know, it's so extreme. And I don't know. Maybe I take it too serious that you're messing with sacred stuff. You know, really, you're really meddling with, the undergrowth of identity and the development of it. You know, you've got a Dr. Frankenstein in there, and for better or worse, I guess, drop these democratically, you know, decided upon, well, as you believe, but supposedly democratically decided upon fucking universal values, and social revolutionary positions into the feed trough. You should, people's constitutions and should be nurtured, you know, and developed with the goodness, not the slant towards amorality, utter permissiveness for me. Especially, and it's especially true because it all relates to children. You make these poor kids like schizophrenic with these media men, which the media is just fucking poisoned first and foremost, but I'm sure everyone knows that. But I remember being at a friend's house and their son was, I think he was four. I think he was four. It was his birthday. We were over there. Well, we were there for his birthday, which was like the next day's birthday party. But he was watching this show. And, sorry, I'm trying to think of how it went. It's like a cartoon or something. And there was a little kid. And for some reason, the child said, and I'm also trying not to make sure I don't use their names. But he said something like, you know, describing what's on the media to his parents and to us. And he says that there's the baby or something. And, you know, every baby has, every baby has like a mom and a dad, right? And they're like, well, not really, son, not every baby. Like, God damn, you know? Why don't you let the, you know, why don't you let your son, first of all, not fucking interrupt him? Second of all, why don't you let him finish and not, you know, yank the fucking choke chain back on this poor child and tell him he's wrong about, like, something so fundamentally obvious that, you know, it's like to tell him that this building block of reality is wrong. He's just trying to share this. He's trying to participate, you know, and he's trying to communicate. He's trying to do all the right things. He is doing all the right things. And son of a gun, if you don't just, like, tell him he's wrong, you know? Take the piss right out of this poor kid. No, not all kids have. Some kids have two moms. It's like, what in the fuck? I mean, this is nothing about that issue at all. It's just about the idea that, you know, man and a woman do create a child, or the biology of sex, what creates a child, or whatever. So, and so, you know, it's appropriate or okay, surely, for the 4-year-old to say without being corrected that, you know, every child is mother. So, I mean, it's just that's the kind of thing where you look into it, you know, you kind of pull your head out of clouds. It's just the reality of it.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I'm Original Simulant from Florida. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com, motherfucker.
There you go. That was an important message. Hopefully, yeah, it's the future. I remember they said, according to history, hoax, you know, Martin's run over there. laconic, their laconic reasoning and speech, and they were, you know, perceived as, you know, as on the one hand like utter barbarians, but on the other it's like on the other hand it's like unbelievably like centered genius. There was the story about one senator or whoever who said they were trying to roll in some new social reforms. You know, the elite were got it in their head to start monkeying with the rolls in Athens because they had too much free time. The elite was not the rolls. They were just getting their first taste of freedom. But they're coming up with all these hair-brained schemes, which are just clearly disastrous. Let's marry the children. So the, Spartan, you know, delegate says, why don't we start with your family? Very laconic way to punctuate, present the hypocrisy of the whole thing, or the, how clearly deranged it is when you start kind of wrapping the thread around yourself instead of always applying it to the other. Start with your family. But once we do that, we got to solve the problems of the world. Which I've nailed it on. I've come to a kind of a singularity of the problem of the world, and I think if it were to be fixed, then all other subsequent problems would be resolved themselves. And it's the problem of corn, just evil. How can a vegetable have ears? It's clearly satanic. No. I mean, maize. That's like a freaking puzzle, you know? Aberrant. Like the Manitar was in there. Manitar. He was the guy in the labyrinth center. You know, 1 second. Here, hey, I'll just, I gotta grab this check real quick.
Well, it still looks like a slight change of plans.
I'm supposed to pick up this check today. You're supposed to leave it in the mailbox, but it doesn't look like they did. So,
I'm going to have to get off the phone here. I'm going to have to get off the call and call these people and try to get this check from them. But I will probably be back. Well, I've made my Ollie-like return to the audio. So, now I got to wait for these people to call me or text me back or email me back about this check. It's just secret. You drive like, I don't know, I mean, I guess I put people out too, so it's like, they're like 20 miles. Because they don't have, they can't pay you, like, when you're done, which is bizarre. You know? Like, you spend this time talking about the money. I guess I should talk back up a little bit. So you go, you know, like a painting or any kind of contract, I guess. Just kind of, you know, fee schedule. Hopefully arranged from the very beginning. Whenever you're like doing estimates or whatever, people don't really, it's all about the money, you know. Like, there's the salesmanship aspect to it too, but like, people really want to know. People don't call me to come to look at their house for me to blow my smoke up their ass about their house. They call me to see how much it's going to cost. I already have not cost that, so how much it costs, which is another, you know, point of contention. So you lay it out, be pretty upfront about the money, pretty quick. You know, it's going to cost $1,500, $1,800, whatever, $4,000. So how much is that going to cost? This is how we can break it down. This is how much I need. You know, now, and this is how much I need at this point, and this is how much I'll need in. Or, this is how much I'll need now, this is how much I need in. Whatever, you figure that part out. But, here's the price, and then, from there, you know. Well, it's, you know, due, when the work is complete, you know. This is bizarre. So, this is how, you know, it just happens so often. It's like, okay, tomorrow, but it's the Monday. Saying from Friday, I've been saying I'll be done Wednesday. And Monday, I'm saying I'll be done Wednesday. Tuesday, I'll be done Wednesday. Wednesday, I'll be done Wednesday. I'll be done today. Don't forget, I'll be done today. Oh, yeah, of course. I'll bring you a checkbook. Oh, that's fine. Or I can take a credit card. That doesn't matter to me. Okay. Then it's like, oh, I forgot my checkbook or something. Like, what in the hell are you talking? It's your house. This is your house. Where's the checkbook at? You know? I mean, I don't care enough for that. But, like, what in the world are you talking? So, and then it's, I'll tell you what, in all the time I've done this, it's never, ever been an issue, ever, let me think about that. I don't think it's ever been an issue. Pretty certain it's never been an issue that they haven't paid me, like, the next day. You know, it's just, like, me having to drive back out there again to get the money for, like, you know, freaking this off. So.
Le gouvernement français, après avoir demandé l'armistice, connaît maintenant les conditions dictées par l'ennemi. Il a des conditions fortes françaises, mais l'attirement des que nos armes seraient livrées, que le territoire français serait totalement occupé et que le gouvernement français tomberait sous la dépendance de l'Allemagne et de l'Italie. On peut donc dire que cet armistice serait non seulement une capitulation, mais encore un asservissement. Or, beaucoup de Français n'acceptent pas la capitulation ni la servitude pour dire.
So, hi everybody, you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us.
You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television.
It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hey guys, it's Harry L. here from Melbourne, Australia, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yes, you are. So, hi everybody, I am Garris, and I am here with the original simulant, and it is the Monday 6th of May. So it means that in 2 hours where I live, it is my birthday. So happy birthday to myself in advance. And I just played a little clip of the General de Gaulle, because I think it is one of the best piece of propaganda that you can find in French language. It was the call of the 14th of June, 1940, the time when the armistice was signed, I think. I am not sure, but he was mentioning it at the start of the discourse. Anyway, I think it is a great way to start this audio chat with original simulant. That seemed to be mute at the moment, but I expect him to join any second now.
Man, I went away for just a few minutes and I come back and there's robots here and you're back. Like, holy shit. It's like a surprise party, but it's your birthday.
Yes, it is. I always like to listen to some classic like the General de Gaulle before my birthday.
What was he talking about there? I don't speak French. If you can, you might find that hard to believe, but.
Oh, it is the moment where he called all the French in the territory to arm themselves against the German and to resist and to claim that he was the real government of the French and not the one that Vichy put in place.
How'd that work out?
Well, that worked out pretty well for him because if you believe the official story and at the end of the war, he was played as the only French bloc against the communists. So the way was paid for him to be the first president of the after war.
Should have been a quick his link. That's a fakeologist bumper sticker. Should have been a Quisling. Yeah. Well, good for him. Finally, the Nazis get one right. I mean, Charles de Gaulle, or whatever.
Yes. He ended up being in the government for many years after the war, and then he kind of quit at the time of the war in Algeria. The war of Algeria, to be precise. Which is another subject, I think. It's not a well-known subject in the English-speaking world.
What is subject?
The war of Algeria. The liberation war that occurred in Algeria in the 50s.
Yeah. Not real well versed in the old Algerians.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm not real well versed in the old.
Well, all that I know about that is that it's sort of a blueprint for all the insurrection war that happened after, you know.
It's like a blueprint
for Vietnam and all that. And it's interesting to note that the French were the first in Vietnam after the war.
Oh, well, hell yeah, they are. The French, if there's freaking, drugs involved and, the opportunity to go maybe bayonet some people. You can't get the French to, get off the bus. They're loading up.
That's true.
And the Dutch, they're fighting each other to get on the bus to go for those things.
Yes, that's true. But if you wanted to take a boat fueled with alcohol and go across the ocean, I will count on the Portuguese to do that, you know? So,
yeah.
Each country has its own of kind of specialty, but to be honest, the French, the Belgian, and the Dutch are really kind of a colonialist power. At least they were at the time.
Good for them. Are we supporting that, or are we against that? Sorry. Oh, the old French Indochina.
Exactly. That is the whole subject, and I don't know if you are well versed in movies, but I watch a lot of movies, and the other days I watched Apocalypse Now, here's the one with the father of Charlie Sheen and Marlon Brando.
What was it called again? I'm sorry, I'm in it really noisy.
Apocalypse Now.
Oh yeah, Apocalypse Now, yeah.
Yes. Yes, and I watched the extended version, and there is a whole part with French people in the jungle, some kind of a French farmer that were staying in Vietnam at the time. So it seems to be on the propaganda to mix French and Americans in the Indochina.
The old French and the Americans are tied to the hip.
Yes, there is a whole narrative on that, like the Lafayette Squadron and all that.
And in France, like the inheritor of the Martian tradition, the Martian principle, right? The field of like the battle, the old Temple of Mars, kind of thing. The latter day. We kind of took the mantle of that from them. Yes.
Oh, French. The French, they always revendicate their culture, but it's a... I don't know how to say it. It's not that it's a hoax, but it's a oversell, you know? It's like if you go to French countryside and if you speak to real French people, it's like they are like everybody else. You cannot say that the French people are more cultivated than other countries, you know? It's a myth. They will have you believe that they all read great literature and all that, but no way, they are like everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Italian also.
I was just complaining about how I had to go pick up how to get this check. I have these problems taking this check out. But now called me back, which I had to get off that last call with. So I'm gonna get off here for just about 5 minutes and pick up this check, and I'll be back on in just a few minutes, like I said. So be around.
Okay. Okay, I'll be there.
Bye.
So now I am alone, and I was speaking about the French people, and I think I can even extend the discussion on many European countries that used to have a great take a great pride in their national heritage, the culture, the books, the artwork, the cathedral, the museum, and all that. And I think that it's not the case anymore, and I don't know if it was ever the case, but the fact is that if you go to some region of Italy or France, you will see that all this this great civilization that they claim is not working so well, because even now the natives are really left out of the pictures. And, you get this shanty town, this bidonville, as they call them, around some city in France that starts to pop up. And I was speaking once about, with the member Laura Mars about some tent city in the woods that that exists in the USA. So I think that there is a world behind the world that we see, and maybe us, if I can say us, the conspiracy-minded people, we sometimes fail to see the things that go on right around us. So I think it's important sometimes to be based on reality and remember that there is people that are living day-to-day a nightmare, even in a developed country, and maybe there is something to be done about that, regardless of their origin or your political belief. Maybe there is something to be said about the fact that we enjoy a life standard higher than ever before, but still we still have the same kind of poor that we have in the beginning of the last century. So it's really interesting to think that the progress of society only benefits to a very, very few percentage of the population if you regard the whole world, but even in the developed country, we can still find people that live very, very similarly to like 100 years prior. So I think that's interesting to consider sometimes. Let's not forget that there is a whole world that we don't see or even heard about. And if you watch the news, it's mostly things that are global and supposed to be concerning many, many people in the world. But not that many things that you can find will tell you about what is happening right in front of your door, if you want. So I think it's important to keep a base on reality, and of course you can be traveling the world, and then it doesn't mean much to you, but for the daily working people, I mean for the people that live in the same place that are sedentary people, I think it's really important to know your surrounding and know what is happening around you with the type of people that populate your environment, because who knows, maybe one day you will be needing one of them. And I was speaking also with a few members here and about the fact that it's a very, very lonely trade, if I can use this word. It's a very, very lonely world, the conspiracy world, because it's full of infighting and shield calling names and accusations like that. So it's important to keep a foot on reality and not be too entrenched in this whole world. Because there is only so much hours that you can spend in front of a computer without this affecting you, I think. Yes, I think that even if you, how do you say, increase your base of knowledge, I think that if you spend 4 to 5 hours in front of a computer every day, firstly, it will be difficult to keep a long-term relationship with anyone, to be honest, because if you put that and the work on top of that, you will have maybe 12 hours, so you're sleeping 8 hours, leave you 4 hours to have a normal interaction with other humans, so it's not that much. So maybe it's more important for the sanity of your own mind to stay based on reality, have some types of activity, because it's like for everybody, you start doing the same things every time, every day, on and on. Will start to form a pattern, and this pattern can be very, very detrimental to your mental or physical health. So let's consider this for a second, the fact that that being on the internet looking for information or engaging people on forum is not the most physical activity, and I say it's not the favorite activity of the outdoorsman, if you know what I mean. So we will not say that we are all some fat, lazy people living in the basement, but still, it's important not to be too much about something. You know, there is people that are too much about booze, about drug, about religion, about sex. I think it's the same. It can be kind of an addiction. So I think that let's consider it for a minute, and I will take a quick break to hydrate myself.
Meno male che me ne sono andata via. Ebrida. Dobbiamo dire che hanno fatto bene, perché per la prima volta hanno detto no, e infatti...
So, welcome back, everybody. I am back with a glass of water, and everything is fine. I was just playing some Italian, because I love the flow of the world. And it was the voice of, I think, the daughter of Benito Mussolini, but I am not sure. Anyway, it was just the first name I can come up with when I was wanted to make somebody listen to Italian. I was speaking about the fact that people need to keep a bias on reality, and that's true. It's not too much, because if you are too much on the reality, you become what they call a normie, and stop to question some things that happen around you, like many things you can question, like something I noticed in my own surrounding that is really interesting. 2 years back, I have seen them first, but it's like they are in full force. When I was a child, the cops, the policemen in Geneva, used to have a silly uniform. And as I am speaking with you, I will try to find some picture of it. It was a very silly uniform. It was like a dress pants, some kind of a very ugly gray or blue dress pants. Excuse me. And a very silly hat. So they were kind of funny, and they were kind of older guys, at least as I remember it. And no, even before, there was a change. And I'm sorry, it was freezing last night in Switzerland. So I will not blame my coughing on the smoke. I will blame it on the weather, because it's more convenient. So anyway, I was speaking about the police uniform, and I can't seem to find the pictures of the older uniform, because some city in the USA seem to be called Geneva, and there is even I think City of Lake Geneva, so that kind of pollute my search. But anyway, when I was growing up, they changed those.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hello, I'm Spiro from Holland. You listen to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
So yes, I've posted a picture of the current uniform, kind of, because that's the point I was making. They kind of changed the uniform to some kind of a more functional one. And the blue color was still prominent in those. But lately I've noticed some police officer wearing all black uniform, really, really, really more intimidating and more, how can I say it, more Star Wars looking, if you know what I mean, more on the kind of the thing you see in the sci-fi movies, like all black, and and even the cops, they themselves, they seem to be younger and younger, but maybe it's me that get older, so that's not the point. But I thought it was really interesting that they kind of make the distinction, because between the cops that you can see on the live stream chat that I posted the picture, and the one in black that seemed to coexist together, but to be more and more prominent. So I don't know much about that, and I don't know if any of you in other country have noticed the same things, but it's really interesting. Something that I noticed in the past few years, I think, because I've seen them patrolling in black for a few years back, I think. But it's very difficult to find anything picture related to a Geneva police officer, because you will find some picture of a very goofy looking Geneva police officer. So, who knows? So, the city of Geneva seemed to be in Illinois. Really interesting. Really interesting. Anyway, it's like a few things that you can notice if you start to look around you. And it can give you kind of a sense of the climate that you live around. Like we can see what is changing. And I can see that it's ramping up on the police state here. More and more places are under video surveillance or video protection, as they call it. And I think that's really a big change that is happening in my world. Only my world. I think that's what is wonderful with this place, is that maybe later I will have the input of somebody in another part of the world who live exactly the same thing or totally different, and who can tell me that. But here in Geneva, it's really specific, as we are in the middle of Europe, and we are kind of a neutral country with all the big international organizations. So that means we are kind of shielded from many, many things that other not so far places are experiencing. So that makes us, if I can say us, really, really special, really a special, unique place, kind of island of tranquility in the middle of chaos, if you want. So, what change is coming up, I think we will be affected, but in a less hard way, and maybe way later than other European country would be. Maybe it's an illusion, it's something that was, how can I say, something that was burned in our mind, and so we can stay quiet. But as I see it, the place is very, very safe, and it's very a quiet environment, and even the low-grade job are still paying enough to live on. There is some difference, of course, because when I was a child, my whole family, me and my two brothers, my mother and my father, we could all live on one person's salary, and was not the biggest, so it made some change. But anyway, I get to pick a phone call, so I have to leave you for now. So I'm back. It was a quick phone call, as you can see. So Napoleon kindly posted pictures of policemen, but you can see that they are wearing the same uniform, but those are a kind of federal uniforms, kind of distributed around the country. Those are not the one I was speaking of precisely. And you can notice, if you watch the plates of the car, that is written VS, which means Valley, which is in a totally different region from the one I am currently in. Not so far, if you mean geographically, because it would make an American or Australian friend laugh if you were to know the distance between Valais and the Geneva region where I am. It's culturally very, very different. And most of the educated people, if you want, most of the very, very successful people came to Geneva anyway. So there is some kind of link between this, but the picture does not resemble exactly what I was speaking about. But it's really very difficult to find some good pictures and continue to speak my train of thought at the same time, at least in English. Maybe in French I will do a better job, but I am limited in English because I have to think and translate at the same time, and it's not an easy process. So as I was saying, you can notice that there is kind of a ramping up of a police state, if you want to use this term. But it's very, very soft, like everything in Switzerland. It's very, very soft, you know, soft on crime, soft on everything. And to be honest, there is not that much need for harder prison sentence or anything like that. We are working very well here, the way they are. At least that's what they want you to believe. But anyway, like every place, we'll still find some homeless people, some poverty, some drug use. It's like every place, but more soft. Yes, softer drug addicts, softer crimes, softer everything. So maybe if you could make big money and have a decent job here, I would recommend it for at least the quality of life. The quality of life. Oh, and Napoleon posted a nice picture of a Geneva cop, to say the least. It was an airport cop with an MP5. And those you can see very, very commonly in the airport. When I was a child, it was I would have found it very fascinating. And I know it's more of a common occurrence to see cops with an MP5. I see those in Turkey, I see those in France, I see those everywhere. So anyway, it's a common occurrence, and I don't remember that there were a big shooting incident in Geneva in the last few years, so it doesn't make sense except that it's the current climate. But as you can see, it's normal, because if you were in some other European country, the guys would be wearing a battle dress, not so much a normal police uniform. So you can see that it's softer in Switzerland. And the guy seems to have like a kind of a small weight on him, even if he was to be wearing a ballistic vest. I think he's kind of fat, which doesn't surprise me, because the cops here tend to get fatter as they get older. And, I don't think they will put some 20-something cop with a semi-automatic rifle in the middle of the airport. Like I can really see the place where the picture was taken, and so I think it's an older cop. And cops are really nice here, when everything is good. When you are in infraction, it's totally different. I think it's the same everywhere. So I am rambling alone, and I am not speaking much about conspiracy or anything fakeology related, as you can notice. But it's difficult not to let your mind wander when you are alone. So let's go back to conspiracy and fakeology in the greater sense. So what will I choose to talk about? Okay, let's pick an easy one. Is all professional sport fixed? Is there any incertitude in the fate of your favorite team, or fighter, or racing car? It's called an écurie in France, but I don't know if I will call it a team. So your favorite racing team. Is there any incertitude? Is there any luck? Is there any way that when we won the cup in 2000-something, it was a real, real big adventure of a group of young boys that like to play together? Or was it all staged to make us believe in a kind of a very nice Disney story? Like the movie The Ducks that was playing when I was a child. And then suddenly you can see all this merchandise for the Mighty Ducks. So it makes you wonder. You can say that there is a lot of fixery in combat sport, at least. Boxing is known to be a sport where many, many fights, at least in past history, were fixed. So what about other sports? I can tell you that there was this scandal in France with the Olympique de Marseille. The owner at the time was a very, very wealthy and powerful guy. It was once the owner of the brand Adidas itself. So to give you an idea of who he was, the name of the guy is Bernard Tapie. Bernard Tapie was owning the Olympique de Marseille, and he supposedly fixed a few games. And if you remember that, if you are kind of a sport savvy, Olympique de Marseille was the first team to win the European Champion Cup. I think it was in 93 or 92, because I was very young when that happened. But anyway, they were the first. And before that happened, they played a final that they lost. Anyway, there was this scandal where it was supposed to have been fixed some game. In some meaningless game that his team was in to win anyway. So big subject, is there any truth to sport fixery? And is there any truth to the fact that we all believe in one way or the other that sport was a real thing? So I will now put up the page for Bernard Tapie, which is in himself a very, very interesting character, because it is a big businessman in France, and he tried his hand at politics for a few times, but it didn't work out too well for him, if I remember correctly. And he was kind of paraded on TV because he was supposed to be half dead with cancer or something. And he is also currently in a big, big legal procedure with the French state, because he was awarded enormous sum of money, and that is probably on his wiki page. So you just give me 1 second, I will see that. Life and career, acquisition. Anyway, as I remember the story, he mandated a bank to sell Adidas. The French government recognized that he was undersell and that he was kind of fleeced by the bank that made a substantial profit on the sale or something like that. And, no, the state is trying to recoup the money. So he himself is a very, very interesting character, if you care to make some search on him. But and he's a key player in the sport, at least in the early 90s in France, because he was this big, successful guy that made the success with everything he touched, and suddenly he take back this French football team and give back its former glory and put it on top of the world football. That is the story. So I noticed that I am joined back by original simulant, so if you want to speak, go on. I see that he is mute, so I will address him from time to time and see if he is in muting. I'm really sorry about the coughing. What can I do? I don't really like to take any medication, so we'll have to suffer it for, I think, a few days. Stopping to smoke will be also a good option. Anyway, back to the sport. So, we all agree that wrestling is totally fake, and I think I knew that from a very, very young age. But what about, Ultimate Fighting? Is Ultimate Fighting fake? Possible to pay a guy to get beaten in live TV and all of that to be fixed, to be staged, to be a total show? Because I recognize that it's really possible to pay somebody to get punched in the face and make kind of a show. It's like play a reality show where you get beaten up. There's no difference. Plus, you are kind of a badass in life after that, you know? People will see you as a badass, as a professional martial artist, and you can get some endorsement that comes with that. So I will see that it will be possible. But I kind of lack the clear argument to make a point that every sport is fixed. Very well, maybe. So Napoleon is saying in text that it's all fixed. I don't know about that. He made a reference to the 2006 Italian football scandal. Pretty interesting. There was this former player. I think his name was Pesotto. It's possible that it was Pesotto. I am almost sure that it's Pesotto. The guy was a team player for the Juventus for a long time. And, when his career ended, he go to the other side, you know, like the management side, more behind the scene side. And if I remember correctly, he jumped from a window. I will see that. Juventus. Nothing specific on the Wikipedia page, but that's not surprising because... Okay, so the website goal.com gives something about Luca Pesotto. And... I will tell you all about that in a second.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I'm Original Simulant from Florida. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com, motherfucker.
Isn't that crazy to hear you on bumper?
Yeah, twice. Twice in like 2 hours, in fact.
For real? I only heard mine once.
Mm-hmm.
As I was going on while you were not there about sport fixing, and I was speaking about one particular story that will not speak much to you as you are in the United States, but anyway, there was this former player for the Juventus of Turin, big football club in Europe, one of the biggest, and the guy played a very, very, very high level for a long time. And then when his career stopped, he go behind the scene to work in the office. And in June 27, 2006, when he attempted to kill himself by jumping off a balcony at the club headquarters in Turin. And what is really interesting is that his suicide attempt came almost at the same time that the club was... suspected of fixing the championship, and I think I remember correctly that the Juventus was even relegated to the second division from the story. And it was a crazy story because there was this big exodus of player and all that, if I remember correctly.
It was in Turin, you said?
Turin, yes, Italy.
In Turin? You said?
Yes, like...
Would
like
you say it was shrouded in mystery?
Exactly. Yes, but Turin itself is a very strange place because it's a big part controlled by one family, that is the Agnelli, the guy that owns Fiat. So, Chrysler now.
I didn't know that.
So this family is a subject in itself, you know. There is a lot to be said about the Agnelli family and their doing in Italy, particularly in Turin.
Mm.
And of course, they are the owner of the football team, of the soccer team, of course.
Yeah, it's never like the guy that works at the postal service. He also owns the football team.
Yes, of course, that's true. But in this day and age, I think it's the same in the USA because the few things I know about professional sports in your country is that the owner are kind of a billionaire guys that put a lot of their own money on the team, no?
Yeah, usually there's some. Yeah, I don't. You know, I would have to look at the real breakdown, but I think they're like purchased by, they're owned by like investment groups, like everything, you know. And then one guy is kind of the designated. The one billionaire is kind of the designated face of it. You know what I mean? Like the way George W. Bush owned the Texas Rangers. He owned some stake in the Rangers. I think. I don't think he owned the whole thing. You know, but he was the public face of it.
Well, I was more thinking of somebody like Robert Kraft.
Oh yeah, of the Patriots.
Yes, because in Europe, this is really specific. But the last few years, like I will say, it started in the early 2000s. Some very very wealthy people from Middle East and some Russia from some clubs, but mostly Middle East, started buying these European clubs, and money was pouring. Pouring on them. It was the case like 2 years back for the Paris Saint-Germain in Paris, France. So
well,
they were bought by the Qatari investment group, and now they have like the two best players in the world almost.
And it's like FIFA, like in the NFL in America, the National Football League. I believe the teams are like Robert Kraft owns the Patriots, but I believe that they're also like. He owns, like, what he can of them. I think they're owned by the NFL itself. Owns the teams as well, or something.
Yes, and I know that there is also a salary cap.
Yeah, yeah. Is that how it works in FIFA, too? Does, like, FIFA own all the
no,
clubs?
Not at all. Not at all. FIFA has some different accords with the treaty, like, with the clubs and everything. But, no, it's not like that. The club, they started to make some law that they call financial fair play because yes, like the new clubs that were bought by big investment groups or Middle East interest, they were having too much money. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, they could with no salary cap or something. You're saying they could just load the teams.
Yes, yes, and it's like you have some big players that were playing all the same team, and it makes
no
sense.
Yeah. And the you thing can just that's buy really the whole team and bring them over. You know, you can just buy that whole good
exactly.
team and put them over to
exactly.
your team. Yeah.
Oh, there is some team that are new. Like in Germany, you get the Bayern Munich, and Bayern Munich will buy like the two or three best players of a previous season from other clubs every year. You know?
Yeah.
And also the difference in the United States is the draft. You know, the draft, it's changed everything because here. You become a professional where you play good enough to be signing a contract. So if you are very, very good at 16, you can be a professional at 16. Doesn't matter what.
Child labor.
Yes, kind of. You can say
kind
that
of.
Because there is a kind of. Because those child make the money that you cannot dream of making, even now.
Yeah, like that movie with Jodie Foster.
Yes, kind of. Yes, and, I don't know if you know who Lionel Messi is.
No.
Lionel Messi is supposed to be the second best player in the football today. And I don't know if there is any truth to his story, but it's fascinating because it was a child that was a wonder kid, you know, like a very, very good player even when he was a small child. So they took him to Barcelona, and in Barcelona they discovered that he had a disease. He was going to be like 1.55 meters or 1.60 meters at most or something like that. So FC Barcelona gave him some kind of hormonal treatment and everything, and grew up to be like 1.67 meters, I think. something like that. He's really small anyway. And the point being that it's kind of legal doping, if you want.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they put him on the old bone rack and stuff, stretch their bones. They do all kinds of stuff like that.
Yes, he's kind of a smaller Captain America. A sports Captain America.
He's like Captain Washington, D.C. He doesn't get to be Captain of all America, but he can be like
exactly.
Captain New York.
Exactly.
Captain Boston.
Yes, and it's fascinating because because he was supposed to be very small and a deceased person, and now he's a billionaire, I think, even. A big, big, big guy, and one of the most known in the world. But the thing is that he did not have the physical appearance that somebody like Cristiano Ronaldo has, because of course you know who Cristiano Ronaldo is.
Yeah.
So you know. So Lionel Messi is almost as strong in the field as Cristiano Ronaldo, but Cristiano Ronaldo is handsome, so he's known all over the world.
I hear these stories. You know, I've had friends that were real into soccer. And then, you know, I hear these stories about these kids like you're just talking about right now. Like, they're 12 years old. They're some kind of phenom. They're, like, the greatest. They're going to, you know, this kid is just unbelievable. The best kid. No one under 20 is as good as this kid who's 12 or something, you know. Or no one playing 3 years is as good as this 14-year-old boy or something, right? But, I mean, I never could believe that, like, some 14-year-old kid, no matter how good they are at soccer, can really be better than like a similarly skilled pro who's also a grown ass man. You know what I mean?
The thing is that it's a sport of pussies, if you want. So contact is very, very not that hard as in hockey or something like that. So you can defend yourself in a football pitch. By being 1.65 meters and be almost okay, so it's really different. So you can believe that.
No 14-year-old boy is as fast as a professional athlete. You know what I mean? Except for some freak of nature, but
there is some freak of nature.
Some kid who's like spent his life, or you know, someone who's dedicated to sprinting or something like that. But to be like a crossover, like he's, I mean, there's no way he's as fast as a grown ass professional man athlete. Or strong, right? No.
And I think you can see that if you take the record for the younger player, at least in soccer, I think it's nothing. It's almost it's almost never under 16.
Oh, hey, you're from Switzerland. You know,
you can be able to play with pros, but at 14, clearly not. They will have you believe that technically the guy is the greatest, but most of the time those kids they don't end up having the greatest career. It's really rare.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, from Switzerland. You know who Andy Hug is?
Oh,
Andy Hoog.
Cool.
Andy Hoog.
Oh,
yeah, man.
Andy
I love I love Andy Hoog, man. I
love Andy Hoog.
I didn't realize what a big star he was until he died. I didn't realize he was like the freaking Wayne Gretzky of Switzerland. You know, I didn't.
The thing is that he's not very known in Switzerland. At least if you go to the martial arts circle, of course, everybody will know him, but he was not that known. To be honest, I know about him because there's a TV channel called Eurosport, and Eurosport was broadcasting K1 when I was a teenager.
So K1
I know about
Grand Prix.
Him. Yes, and he was the only thing public I know about him, except when he died, because they spoke about him when he died. And maybe he's a big star in the German-speaking part of the country. I can't say for that, of course. But he was on a commercial for some mobile operator just before he died, because he died in 2000, I think.
And or something, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. He's buried in Japan, I think, also. His nickname was... Samurai.
Yeah, the blue-eyed samurai. Andy Hoof with the axe kick. Boy,
yes, exactly.
My axe kick was pretty badass just because I loved Andy Hoof so much.
Andy Hoof is the character I created in every UFC game. I created an Andy Hoof and made him kick axe kick people.
Oh, yeah, that spinning heel kick. The spinning, like, the back, damn, I can't think of what it's called. Like, the back leg sweep he does and the fucking backhand. Andy, he was a beast, man. He wasn't that big either. I mean, he was big. He's 200. But
yes, you know, he wasn't that big in size.
No, not like Peter Arts. You know, he's fighting Mike Bernardo and Peter Arts, those guys. I mean,
that's what I was about to say, is that he was a big legend in the era of legend. Like the Peter Arts,
the Golden Age.
The Sammy Sheet.
Yeah, man. Bronco Sakatic, Musashi.
Musashi. He never win the Grand Prix, Musashi, I think. I remember him with his Wu-Tang, the Wu-Tang logo on his shirt, the inverted Wu-Tang logo.
Yeah, he was awesome. Ernesto Hoost.
Ernesto
Hoost. Rutten. Stan the Man, Jerome Le Banner. Oh, man.
Jerome Le Banner is still having kind of a small career in smaller shows, making some small fights.
God, he's got to be, how old is he now? 50, in his late 50s,
probably. Oh, he's got to be more than 50 at least.
Mike Bernardo died, too. You remember him? The South African Bull?
Yes. There was also the freak show with Bob Sapp.
Oh, yeah, Bob Sapp. Yeah,
I remember Bob Sapp being punched in the eye by Cyril Abidi and crawling down. It was when I was about 15, I think it was crazy to see this big guy take one punch in the eye and crawling down like a baby. Oh, you just made me think about Andy Hug. It's wonderful. I love it, this guy. I was a big fan of the guy.
Oh, he's perfect. He's beautiful. Just the handsomest man you ever seen, you know. He looked like I only knew him from the media, but he looked like a real family guy, you know what I mean? He's just a fucking wonderful blue-eyed samurai, you know?
You know what? He looked like a guy that you can find if you were in the Swiss capital, Bern, and you were to drive like an hour to the countryside, you know? If you go to a random farm, you will find a guy that looks exactly like Andy Hug.
Right. He's the kind of guy my dad would always, you know, my dad would always like a guy like Andy Hug. Remember Peter Arts was with, was it what was it called? Chicada? This club. It was him, Bronco Sagata, and I, who were like the three main guys from that. I think he was from, is he Lithuanian? Or,
Peter Arts? I think. Peter Arts is from Detroit.
Oh, yeah, the Dutch Lumberjack. Oh, yeah, he was. But
yes,
his club was from... Yeah,
the thing is that
my
was broadcasted in English, and at the time my English was not so good, so most of the times I didn't have the volume on, so I mostly remember the fight, and it was crazy. And Peter Arts with the lumberjack jacket without the sleeves.
Yeah, and the hat, the deer hunter hat. Yeah. Yeah, Peter Arts, man, he fucking lay your ass out, man. That big, he was like 6'6 or something. He was a monster. Just head-kicking people. You know?
Yes, the only one that I could think of that was bigger was Sammy Sheet.
What was he that? Big that kid? Like, the guy you're talking about? Am I breaking up?
Yes, you are kind of breaking up.
Right. I might have to mute here in a second. But When Mike Bernardo and Andy Hug just have those wars, man, they just beating the fucking piss out of each other in the corner.
I kind of remember that Andy Hug was beaten by Ernesto Hoost, and I was so sad.
Yeah, I think he broke his leg or something. It was bad.
I don't remember exactly, but I was so sad to watch that. And after that, they stopped playing K1 and. There was the time that, at least in Switzerland, they started to sell this Pride DVD. If you know what Pride is.
Yeah, Pride. Yeah, oh yeah.
Pride Grand Prix.
Yeah, and the name merged. That's when K1 went to shit for a couple of years.
Yeah, they were not. They were not having some big stars, and it was not that. It was not that broadcasted. I think the deal that they made were not that good as the earlier one, and people lost interest, and then there was Pride for a time. Pride was the big thing, at least outside of the US, Pride was the biggest thing, because I don't remember watching any UFC except from the first few one that a friend must have on tape or on DVD. And then again, Pride disappeared, and now it's only UFC for combat sport. I think it's the biggest organization in the world right now.
It might be. I had a chance to fight for Pride, but I had to pay for my own ticket. You know?
Oh, you should have done that. You should have totally done that.
Yeah, looking back, I should have. You know, at the time, I'm like, God, I'm going to fly my ass.
Yes, to this very, very strange country. And, with all the shady dealings that goes on at the time also. Because for our audience that Pride was in a mixed martial arts organization mostly controlled by Yakuza and shady interest.
Totally rigged. Totally rigged, yeah. Yeah. It grew up yeah, for sure. It was started by, do you remember Pank? Did you have Pancrase? Did you have that?
The slapping martial arts with Boss Rutten.
Yeah, Boss Rutten and Funaki.
Yes.
With the giant boots. Guys too.
You get these two giants in Speedo with big leather boots slapping themselves. It's crazy. Slapping each other. Yeah, I remember that. And I will not say that all Pride fights were fixed. I want to believe that some of my teenage memories were real. At least some of them.
Well, I won't say anymore. Well, you know, you never know, right? But they tried. I'm sure they tried to fix every fight.
There was some fight that fixed, and there's some mismatch also because. And also there was this Japanese guy that submitted Anderson Silva under a minute or something like that, I think. I remember. Yes, there was some really, really shady fight. So.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
What more do you want tacked onto this? 9/11 was an inside job?
Was it?
Who cares? Global acts of terrorism happen every day.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Bonjour, je suis Unreal et vous écoutez Radio Fakeologist avec Abiratou et ses invités.
So that was Unreal.
Yeah, I guess so.
So yes, I was saying, what do you think? All sports are fixed.
Well, it's tough to think that it's tough to think that they exist for some other reason.
Well, my point to say that it's fixed is that nobody in their right mind will put that much money on something that income is not fixed.
Of course. Yeah, you're not going to let that shit ride on chance. You know?
Exactly. You will not put that much money in the sponsorship and everything because you know it's something that also I always think about the Formula One. Who is stupid enough to sponsorship the last team? The team that even before the season, you know, will be last or second to last, you know? Who in their right mind will associate their brand with such a loser team? Nobody. But still, you can find that start every new year, they are fooled with sponsorship. And
turning them away. Turning people away.
Almost.
They're allergic to money, by God. Yeah, it seems to be part of the hustle. I think if you sign on some kind of deal, maybe you have to take a run at sponsoring the shitty team every once in a while. You know, maybe it's like a bit of a lottery. Yeah. This year we got a sponsor. You know, this loser. Next year we're back on top.
Yes, kind of. It makes sense because some sponsors are changing from team to team because. When I was a child, the Swiss Formula One team Sauber was sponsored. His main sponsor was Petronas, the Malaysian petrol company. And then I guess they have fulfilled their engagement because they go on to go with Mercedes and have great success. So I think you can make that point, yes. Work your way up in the sponsorship world.
Yeah. You're not going to be some garbage brand if you're like. Your product that's I'm trying to think of a funny analogy, but you know you're not selling blow dryers, you know, and beating out Coca-Cola to be the number one sponsor.
Yes, which is really interesting. It's a main difference in the US and European sport because you will not find like the Los Angeles Lakers playing with Walmart logo on their shirt. But it's something that is omnipresent in the European sport. Like, for example, like out of the 20 European main football team, I will say that about 10 to 12 are sponsorized by Fly Emirates. So you get teams that played against each other in the European competition that are sponsorized by the same guys.
Yeah, they're all in at the end. Yeah, this is like the way the NBA has their profit share, or you know, the NBA, for example, has their profit sharing, where you know, if you want your bullshit out there, you know, if you want your Mars bar, your Nestle Crunch, then you know, it's going to be on X amount of Prime commercials, X amount or Y amount of you know, Beta commercials, and then the tiers go down, right? But you're gonna get spread around, and then the teams supposedly share. Share in that revenue so that they don't have to have, like, this plastered head-to-toe with, you know, sponsorships.
Yes, there is also some kind of redistribution of wealth in football, but it's via the TV rights. Because here, it's a big thing, because when the TV rights are up, they're up for auction. They go up and up. Every time they're up for auction, the price go up. So it's supposed to be redistributed in a way that make the championship fair.
Yeah, even though oddly enough, the ratings don't consistently go up and up. Or, you know, if ratings are metric or are of income, you know, in America, but, at least the ratings don't necessarily go up, but the TV rights go through, you know, up every year.
Yes, but so. you can find in some way that there are also the valorization of the brand is. Way more smarter now than it was before, because when I was a child, I pissed off my father until he bought me the AC Milan football kit with the shirt and the little short and everything. But just the short and the sweater, the football shirt. So, okay, I have those two things. And for 2 years, they played with the same that I had. And, the only other one they had was the white one to play the away games or against the team that was playing red. So my point is that if you see the kit of a European team at the beginning of the season, you can, if you are a big supporter and you want to buy it all, you get to put $1,500 up at the beginning of the season. So it's like they know how to milk it a better way each and every year.
Yeah, that's for sure. It ain't getting no cheaper. You know, that's for sure.
Exactly.
And they got all the bullshit peripherals you can stand.
Yes, and you get to buy ESPN to watch the UFC. You get to buy this. You get to get the NFL Network. And if you are into wrestling, there is the WWE Network also. So.
Or you can just watch CNN, because, you know, Donald Trump is in the World Wrestling Federation Hall of Fame. You might not know this, but President Trump in America.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's in the Hall.
He's
him,
a woman.
Him, Andre the Giant, you know. He's up there with the immortals. Andre, Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, President Trump, the new Mount Rushmore.
Well, Chris Benoit in the Hall of Fame also.
God only knows. Oh, Chris Benoit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Too much blow to the head make you crazy. Would that of that?
Yeah, maybe. There'd be a lot more crazy people though. What was I going to say about the wrestling? Oh, he also financed like WrestleMania 4 and 5 or 5 and 6 too. The ones that were in Atlantic City. So.
Yes.
And the largest single, you know, Donald Trump Foundation, or I think it's what it's called, the Donald J. Trump Foundation, the largest single contributor ever to the Donald Trump Foundation, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, the owner of the World Wrestling Federation.
So he's a big friend of him.
Oh, man, his wife got a cabinet position. His wife is the got a cabinet position in the Trump administration, Linda McMahon, after her two failed senator Connecticut senatorial runs, she's appointed like a cabinet level position of like Secretary of Small Business Administration or something like that?
Does she know anything about small business?
A multi-billion dollar media empire. Yeah. she's out there with mom and pop, you know.
Yes, yes. It's playing a demo to pay, get people to pay a monthly fee.
You know, wrestling was huge was a huge player in the mainstreaming of video, VCRs, video cassette recorders in people's, you know, in like American life. The wrestling tapes were among like the, by far the most rented in these, you know, ordered and rented these stores and sold. They were like a pioneer in that era, or in that field during that era, the home video sales.
Yes, it's crazy. It's crazy. And they also put out show in the Saudi Arabia last year. And they kind of redone the whole show to suit more the cultural differences, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if that cyborg, that robot they gave citizenship to, I wonder if, like that chick, it looked like Bishop, like the lady Bishop from Alien. You know, I wonder if she was at the show.
I don't think so. I don't think there was any lady at this show, at this particular show. But I could be wrong.
No, I don't know.
And I think the UFC is coming to Abu Dhabi this year. And if it was to be the case, I will be very interested to see if there is any woman fight on the card.
Remember when the Prince of Abu Dhabi, wasn't it Abu Dhabi where he like kidnapped all those women? Like he was holding those models? I think it was the Abu Dhabi, the Emir or something. It was back when I was still fighting then, and it was back when, you know about the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournament in Abu Dhabi they have?
ADCC, I think it's the name.
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge. I remember the first one. And I've had friends go over there and compete in it and stuff, and they... and one of them's a frequent official in it, but they, this was right after that happened. I think, I'm pretty sure it was Abu Dhabi, where the guy,
those guys, they are completely crazy. They have too much money, too much power, and nobody to restrain them, so.
200 years ago, well not even 200, 150 years ago, less than that even, shit, like, in 1900, these people, they were Bedouin goat farmers, you know?
Exactly.
Then all of a sudden, the queen comes over, or Lawrence of Arabia tells them, "There, all right, you get to be the king over here. You'll be the king, I guess, and, you know, you'll be the prince, and okay, sounds good."
Yes, and all of a sudden you can buy all the coke you want and drive a Maserati in whatever city in Europe you want to.
Absolutely. You can turn the desert into freaking, you can pump all the water here you want. We'll sell it to you cheap.
Yes, and it's a well-known story. People will tell you that it's over, but older people in Switzerland, they will tell you the story about the Saudis that paid with 100 francs, that amount to $110, almost a 100 franc bill, like a pack of cigarettes that cost 5 and give you the change. There is many old people will tell you the story about those crazy spending people, you know. Even when I was a kid, this Saudi guy, he paid to have an electronic appliance shop open at night. He paid a fine. He just paid a fine. He did not care. Just to have it open and so he can buy some things at night for his court, if you want.
Yep.
So, it's something that we know very well here. There is all kind of story of those people behaving badly and beating up people and all those things. But they are way, way, way more discreet than the last few years.
I remember when I got a 1980, I wish I remember the year, it was like an 83 or 84 Volvo 240 GL. It was like a two-door. It was kind of tan, yellow, kind of tan. Two-door had this real long hood. Man, I was thrilled with this thing. I loved it. Bought it probably 2002. And I drove that thing home. My roommate told me he thought I was like an Arab prince had pulled up from an 80s movie.
Yes, but those type of guys you don't see anymore. But the new thing, the new trend for those guys is that you don't rent the car that you drive anymore. bring your own one from the mother country, you know? I do see all this big sports car, very, very exclusive and all tuned.
Yeah, it's one of a kind.
Yes,
you got to bring that thing to it's got to come to Monaco with you, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And before it was not that much the case, but now you see many, many of those. And the cop, they are having a blast with those guys. Because they don't even know to drive, to be honest. They never really, really had to drive in the city. Most of them, they just don't have to go to work or drive in traffic, you know?
No. Yeah, I'm sure they're terrible driving too, right? Hold on one second.
Yes, of course. That is also legendary here. But yeah, it's strange because if you walk across the lake in the summer, you can see those people with two or three guys in suits walking, like one before them and two right after them. So who knows who you can come across if you walk in Geneva? What kind of power players that you will never hear of? So yes, I think it is clear that those people, the change that happened in their country, very, very too violent, very, very, very too fast. I think nowhere in the world you can find some whole country that get the biggest influx of money so quick. So I will leave that out for now.
Is it your birthday yet, Garris?
In 45 minutes it will be. But I don't really care. It's not like I'm going to be drunk out of my mind or anything. It will not change anything. It will do the same thing as I do every day. Because
so your birthday is the 7th?
Yes.
So you're Taurus?
Yes.
Thank you.
Exactly. So we will check 7th of May. My God. Some really dumb people was born on the 7th of May. Piotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky. That is a nice one. So let's check out on this day for the May 7th. There is some I know, some I will not know. In 558 in Constantinople, the dome of the Hagia Sophia collapsed. Justinian Premier first immediately orders the dome rebuilt. Oh.
The dome collapsed here? Yeah. Ooh, the Jewish revolt against Constantinus broke out in 351.
And I've been there. And the dome is massive. It's really a big... I don't know how it was at the time, but when I was there, the dome is massive. It would be a massive thing to rebuild and to build in first place. So in 1429, the English siege of Orléans is broken by Joan of Arc and the French army.
Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc, yes. Who no one had ever heard of until Mark Twain writes a book called The Autobiography of Joan of Arc. And then afterwards, she's miraculously sainted. Before that, they never even heard of her. At least that's the story.
Yes, but that's the case for many, many national heroes. Many, many, many of them don't really exist.
A lot of them were based off me, actually.
Excellent. Physically. What can I say? Physically?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, like William Tell and all those people?
All of them. Luke Skywalker, Jabba the Hutt, all of them.
Yes, because I was about to speak to you about Louis XIV, and that's an ugly mug that I am looking at right now.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Tom Dauper on Psychologist.com.
Okay, so I get a good one. In 1824, Ludwig von Beethoven's Ninth Symphony premieres in Vienna. That is a good one on May 7th. Otto von Bismarck serially wounded in assassination attempt. Why not? Not that many things happened on my birthday.
When was that? When was the Bismarck? I mean, it was May 7th, but it was what year was that?
I will go back to that. 1866.
Something else happened. All right. Sorry.
And, for the American, in 1917, the Red Sox Babe Ruth beats Washington Senator Walter Johnson 1-0.
The Bambino. Oh, wait. He was a pitcher back then.
See, you knew about that. You knew about the event. Oh, interesting. And, I was not sure about the date, but in this site they say that at least. In 1945, the unconditional German surrender to the Allies by General Alfred Jodl at Reims in France.
Yeah, that's the May 7th. Yeah, and then but that's not what ends the it's the surrender of the Germany, right? And then the war for the war in the Pacific for the United States doesn't end until November. Or is that right? 1940. I think that hostilities are like carried out until like 1946 or something.
No, I don't think so.
1945 is not the end of the war.
I think so. I think, but it's the end of 1945, like the last few months.
Let's see, might be. I thought it was officially over like April 7th, 1947 or something. Let's see here. Let's look.
No.
Let me see.
At least not in Europe. Then,
Europe's a different than World War II is not in America. World War II is not just World War II is like two wars, right? It's the war against the Axis and then a war against.
Yes.
Or it's the war against the Reich and then it's the war against.
Yes, but here in Europe, they will always reference it at the 39-45 war. Yes, from 1939 to 1945.
Let's see. Yeah, so then Japan like surrenders to the United States
Japan,
and then in August,
said,
and then Russia attacks them.
Something like that. Japan announced its intention to surrender on 15 August 1945.
And then on the Missouri, on September 2nd, 1945, the surrender. But I'm telling you that
the peace treaty with Japan was signed in 1951.
There you go, 1951.
But the hostility were ended way before, like in 1945.
There you go, 1951. Six whole years.
Yes, but to have a peace treaty, but there was no hostility. I think the peace treaty was mostly because it was like to end the formal occupation of Japan. I have read the book of Douglas MacArthur about it, but it was a long time ago, so I'm not sure about the event, but I think it was more the hostility were finished way before, but it was more of a way to formalize the end of occupation, military occupation of Japan.
Let's see here. Let's see here. And then they didn't, I think. Those damn Russians swooped in.
Yes, they did. They did in the end. They did because they had some interest, some mutual interest. For territory.
Korea.
So. Yes, exactly. Kind of. It's really interesting.
Then they also had war. The phony war, right? With it was prior to World War II or whatever, when United States, or was it Great Britain? I can't remember. They're like, we won't let you be attacked. And then they're like, they get attacked. I'm like, fuck them. We ain't going over there.
There was a period of time in the war called, I don't know, phony war, I will type that, because I'm not sure if that's what you're speaking about. But there was a time where the German invaded some places and the war was kind of, drôle de guerre in French. Yes, drôle de guerre. The phony war was an 8-month period at the start of World War II, during which there was only one limited land operation in the Western Front.
And France only one.
Invaded, only one.
Yeah.
And because I think that the idea at the time was to negotiate, which revealed the totally impossible when it was clear that Russia and Germany were going to go at war, because it was stupid to let the German destroy the Russian and not attack them on another front.
Wasn't that what the one guy says?
Who was it? MacArthur, Patton, they said? Or MacArthur said, we turned our, we're facing the wrong way.
Yeah, damn Yalta. They should have gone after him. You know, if the war was real, you gotta go after him at the end of it.
After who?
If the war is real, right? After hostilities have ended between Germany and the Allies, you gotta just turn. You gotta cut the deal with Russia and attack them too, the Soviet Union. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean that's real politics, right? You gotta just do that. Like you got the freaking world in your hand. I mean, yes. Of course, it's all a scam anyway, and it's all just a bunch of business deals. But were it not, then you just got to just break the treaty with Russia and attack, you know, while they're on their back foot. It's ridiculous not to.
Yes, and also, if you believe the story, of course, a big part of the material that the Russians used during the war were supplied by the Allies. So, is that what crossed up? The Russian will not, with their own production, hold out the total war that long.
Yeah, all of it. Well, you know, the Allies, the Axis, everybody. Everybody's got to have gas. Everybody's got to have rubber. Anyway, they weren't getting it from the Rhine, and shit wasn't getting pumped out of the Rhine, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, well. But instead, the Yalta deal. Instead of the Yalta, where it's like, you get all this bullshit, and all these, you know, backward people. We'll take the Orientals and half of Berlin.
Yes, the influence zone that were decided at the time. They always did the same thing. They did the same thing in China. They did the same thing with Africa on the world continent size.
They did it with India and the Raj. It's the game of empire.
Exactly. Always end up causing problems. They did that in the Middle East also. It was this book written by a Nazi collaborator, writer named Jacques Benoist Mecher. And this guy wrote a book about Lawrence d'Arabie, Lawrence of Arabie.
Yeah, T. Lawrence.
Crazy story, if you believe that also. And those were the precursor of the Saudi we were speaking about. So if you were to believe this story, those guys went to nothing, to anything really, really quickly, I don't think of many examples in human history. Yeah. It will be like a horde of barbarians came across the biggest jewel coffer that they can find at the time. Something like that.
You gotta get to it before those damn French are all over it.
Oh, they're already all over it. The French are strong in Saudi also.
Yeah, thank God they're too busy powdering their wigs and humping each other.
That's something crazy also. Why would you take somebody serious that wear a wig most of the time?
Well, there you go.
And a dress. A wig and a dress.
Married his horse. Or whatever. Horse is the new king. Yeah. I don't know. They speak that fruity language. I don't know. You can't take them seriously.
I don't think so. I think that
they got some phony baloney pope bossing them around. Fuck all that noise, you know?
Yes, from time to time you get to try to assassinate one of those, so they get taken serious.
They try to, but they just poison them or strangle them or some other feminine way of, you know, half killing them. You got that guillotine that only works half the time.
Yes, so that's exactly it. And but I think it's over. Most countries don't have the royals anymore. I was speaking with a Dutch member of the forum, and he was telling me that it's a big thing in this country, but I don't see it lasting for very long because people are kind of tired of it. I think all the royals and all those things. People want movie stars and sports stars now.
Well, the new royals, the British ones are kind of getting they're in that social justice business, so maybe they'll be like a civic saint. And the new Ecclesiastes, the civic ecclesiastical.
I don't know, because those people get to... They will preach that, of course, but in the end, they will need to have successors. So they will not have kind of raise their boy as a girl, or vice versa.
No, that's not for them. That's for the proles.
Exactly.
Their kids are learning Greek and Latin, you know? Donald Trump's grandchildren are learning Chinese, and they're 3 years old.
No.
No, I think those people are way up, too up on the scale to have to worry about that. But it's interesting because we get those movie actors that have a transgender child, and I wonder why when you have all the money and the influence that you can have in the world, would you let something like that happen? You know, you will tell them to do that to someone else. But it seems that those people don't have any control over their life. They just playing.
Have all the what?
I mean, it's like it's like the role never stops. Like you will never get out of character, and I think it will be very hard for somebody normal to end up on a life like that. And that's why I think that in most of the hoaxes of all the big terrorist events, those people only have a very, very limited role, and in time you will not find them speaking on TV or something like that, because they are not competent, you know? They are not good actor enough to stand the test of time, so quickly they are disappeared. And the one that reveal themselves to be a great actor and to really fit the role, they can be kept and paraded on TV every year on Memorial Day or something like that. So I will mute for 5 minutes just to pick up something to drink. So I am back after a great fit of cough. But the original simulant is not here, so I will jump on the occasion to make a break. I will be back in a few minutes.
That's all, folks.